Chief Clerk will please call the roll.
Roll call for Friday, February 10th. Agar.
Present.
Anderson.
Here.
Anselmi Dalton.
Here.
Baldwin.
Here.
Barnard.
Here.
Boner.
Here.
Bouchard.
Here.
Burns.
Excused.
Case.
Present.
Christensen.
Here.
Coe.
Here.
Dockstetter.
Here.
Driscoll.
Here.
Ellis.
Here.
Emmerich. Hastert.
Here.
Hicks.
Excused.
Kinski.
Here.
Landon.
Here.
Meyer.
Here.
Moniz.
Here.
Nethercott.
Here.
Pappas.
Here.
Perkins.
Excused.
Perkins.
Here.
Peterson.
Here.
Rothfuss.
Here.
Scott.
Here.
Von Fladeren.
Here.
Wasserberger.
Here.
President Bebout.
Here.
28 present, 2 excused.
Prayer this morning by Pastor Minder. Will you please rise?
Good morning, everyone. Thank God it's Friday. Amen.
Oops, hold on. He's going to turn my mic on. Am I good? All right. Let's pray. Father, thank you for weekends. Thank you for a chance to unplug and unwind after today so we can take a break from all this legislative stuff. Help us finish what needs finishing today so we can go and recharge our batteries. And please give us what we need to get through today so we can enjoy our weekend and be ready to tackle next week. And help us to be thankful for all the good things you've given us. Thank you for all the friendships we have here. Thank you for our country, and thank you for Wyoming. And most of all, Lord, today, thank you for all these staff members here, like Ellen, who works so hard to make it look like President Bebout looks like he knows what he's doing. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Join me in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Just a second. Pastor, hold on a second. You're not going to walk out that easily.
Members of the Senate, what about that prayer and him being here all week? Wasn't that great?
Thank you. Really, thank you.
And thank you so much for taking the time to be with us and giving us those inspirational messages every morning. And members of the Senate, it is Friday. And, of course, you are right about Alan and everybody else and our staff. We couldn't do it without them, could we, Senators? We couldn't do it without them. So thank you very much for being here. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Small token of our appreciation for you.
Thank you, Mr. President.
God bless.
God bless. Thank you.
Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. President. May I have privilege of the floor?
You may.
I was just going to point out, Mr. President, that it's clearly a stressful week because I can really gauge the level of stress based on the rate of consumption of this chocolate. And I've never seen this pace carried out before, so I hope everyone has a great and restful weekend. Once we get done here today, I'll get it refilled.
Thank you, Senator Rothfuss. I'll keep an eye on that, knowing what your stress level is. I needed a little idea where you were coming from. Now I'll have something to gauge that by. Senator Perkins.
I have privilege of the floor, Mr.
You may.
Along that same line, I noticed yesterday I think I was dragging, I think a lot of people were dragging. I did notice all the caffeine drinks out of the refrigerator were empty yesterday. It was the first time this session that all the caffeine drinks had been gone. So, anyway, keep up the good work.
Well, good comment, Senator Perkins. And I sit up here and I look out there and see all your faces, and I think Senator Perkins was correct, including your president. Yesterday was a tough day. But today's Friday.
Yeah.
So, here we go. Reading, correction, approval of the journal.
Mr. President, your journal committee reports that the journal of February 9, 2017 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Senator Bouchard, chairman.
Are there any objections? There being none, the report is adopted. Our doctor for the day is Dr. Cameron Grove here in Cheyenne. We have a nurse as well, Ann Raga. She's from Campbell County. Today in Wyoming history, in 1875, John M. Thayer began his second term as territorial governor. Today is day 24 of a proposed 37-day session. It is Friday. and members of the Senate, we have 12 working days before the last day of third reading on bills in both bodies. 12 days left. Messages from the House.
From the House of Representatives, February 9, 2017, message number 288. Mr. President, the House adopted the Committee of the Whole report failing the bill below by the vote indicated. House file number 20, or Senate file number 25, wildlife location and research information confidentiality. Ayes 4, noes 54, excuse 2.
Whoa, wait a minute.
Signed, Wendy Harding, House Chief Clerk.
Okay, remember that, Senators, when we have a little general file today coming up for some of these wonderful House bills. House bills on first reading. House Bill 58, first reading of the House bill. Reading clerk, do you want to read this in?
House Bill 58, School Facilities Appropriations, an act relating to school facility projects, sponsored by the Appropriations Committee. Passed the House, ayes 53, noes 7.
House Bill 58, referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. House Bill 266, first reading of the House bill.
House Bill 266, engrossed, Study on Evaluation Requirements for Small Cities and Towns, an act relating to the Department of Audit, sponsored by Representative Laux. Passed the House, ayes 50, noes 9, excused 1.
House Bill 266, referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. Reports from standing committees.
February 9, 2017, Mr. President, your committee number 3, to whom is referred House Bill 218, Motor Vehicles Registration Fees, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Case, Ellis, Peterson, and Wasserberger. Noes, Senator Kinski. Senator Peterson, Chairman. Mr. President, your committee number 3, to whom is referred House Bill 219, Driver's Licenses Fees, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Case, Ellis, Peterson, and Wasserberger. Noes, Senator Kinski. Senator Peterson, Chairman. Mr. President, your committee number 4, to whom is referred House Bill 139, School Finance Court-Ordered Placement, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Coe, Ellis, Pappas, Rothfuss, and Wasserberger. Senator Coe, Chairman.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, would you kind of go over the agenda for today so we have an idea what you got in mind and how we'll proceed with everything?
Mr. President, we're going to do the same thing we do every day, except a little bit differently.
That sounds like an attorney's response to a question. Go ahead, Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. President. It'll be the same, except where it's different. What we're going to do today is really similar to what we did on Wednesday. So we're going to start off. We'll do bills on second reading, House bills on second reading, House bills on third and final reading. Then we will go to Committee of the Whole for the consideration of this singular House bill that you see on the board there. The reason we have one is that in the process, we've done approximately 33% of the House bills we've taken action on as a Senate, of the House bills that came over. In contrast, I think they've taken action on about 12% of the Senate files thus far. So we're going to slow down a little bit and with respect to House bills and let them catch up. But we'll have this one bill, which I thought was of particular interest today. It'll be an interesting debate. You'll enjoy that. After which we will and do with that bill as you will, and there's some Senate sponsors in here, and they'll have their say, and then after that we will go back and we'll rise and report on that bill, and then we'll go back into third reading on Senate File 1, and we'll be here until we're done.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Bills on second reading.
Oh.
House Bill 2, second reading of the House bill.
House Bill 2, Storage Tanks, sponsored by the Minerals Committee.
No amendments. House Bill 2, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the House bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. House Bill 3, second reading of the House bill.
House Bill 3, engrossed. Cease and transfer priority list, sponsored by the Minerals Committee.
House Bill 3, having read two separate times, the question is, shall the House Bill be read a third time? Hear no objections. So ordered. House Bill 4, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 4, engrossed. NRC Agreement State Amendments, sponsored by the Minerals Committee.
House Bill 4, having read two separate times, the question is, shall the House Bill be read a third time? Hear no objections. So ordered. House Bill 7, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 7, engrossed. Credit for reinsurance, sponsored by the Corporations Committee.
House Bill 7, having read two separate times, the question is, shall the House Bill be read a third time? Hear no objections. So ordered. House Bill 9, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 9, Student Ownership and Privacy Rights, sponsored by the Education Committee.
House Bill 9, having read two separate times, the question is, shall the House Bill be read a third time? Hear no objections. So ordered. House Bill 13, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 13, Investment of Public Funds, sponsored by Representative Madden.
House Bill 13, having read two separate times, the question is, shall the House Bill be read a third time? Hear no objections. So ordered. House Bill 24, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 24, engrossed. Water Commission Duties, sponsored by the Agriculture Committee.
House Bill 24, having read two separate times, the question is, shall the House Bill be read a third time? Hear no objections. So ordered. House Bill 39, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 39, Education Resident Tuition Reimbursement, sponsored by the Education Committee.
House Bill 39, having read two separate times, the question is, shall the House Bill be read a third time? Hear no objections. It is so ordered. House Bill 112, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 112, engrossed. EMS Licensure Interstate Compact, sponsored by the Labor Committee.
House Bill 112, having read two separate times, the question is, shall the House Bill be read a third time? Hear no objections. It is so ordered. House Bill 113, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 113, engrossed. Medicaid Waiver Program Military Personnel, sponsored by the Labor Committee.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I ask House Bill 113 be laid back till Monday. We're working on an amendment there.
Without objection, House Bill 113 will be laid back until second reading on Monday. House Bill 123, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 123, engrossed. Probate Estates of Non-Residents, sponsored by Representative Greer.
House Bill 123, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the House Bill be read a third time? Hear no objections. It is so ordered. House Bill 124, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 124, engrossed. Uniform Trust Code Amendments, sponsored by Representative Greer.
House Bill 124, having read two separate times, the question is, shall the House Bill be read a third time? Hear no objections. It is so ordered. House Bill 125, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 125, engrossed. Sealing of Trust Documents, sponsored by Representative Greer.
House Bill 125, having read two separate times, the question is, shall the House Bill be read a third time? Hear no objections. It is so ordered. House Bill 237, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 237, Community College Capital Construction, sponsored by the Appropriations Committee.
We do have an amendment. Will the reading clerk please read that amendment in?
House Bill 237, second reading amendment number 1, page 3, after line 9.
Senator Christensen.
Mr. President, thank you. I move Senate reading amendment number 1 to... Second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 237. And in this reading amendment, we are just adding the ability to disperse funds that have been promised to be collected in the community. There is no appropriation. This merely allows them, should the community be able to raise these funds, this amount of money, that they can disperse it. I'd stand for questions.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you. Mr. President, I do have a question for the good bringer of the amendment. Applies to this amendment as well as the other thing in the bill. All of these, as I understand, are no general fund. There's no appropriation. These are basically an authority to spend funds. However, my understanding is when we do these, like we're doing on this second reading amendment number 1, is that that does go into major maintenance, that does go into the maintenance, and doesn't that maintenance come back, and isn't that somewhat funded by general fund at a later point?
Further discussion before the sponsor speaks for a second time. Senator Landon.
Mr. Chairman, just to answer that question, the answer is yes. Many of these projects that come along eventually end up in our major maintenance formulas out across the state in these colleges. This is my good friend from Teton County knows more about this program than I do, but it is an appendage of Central Wyoming College, already is in place up there, and they are trying to move forward on some things. So very definitely, this is every one of these projects that you see in the bill are projects eventually that we're going to want to take care of. Thank you.
Further discussion before the sponsor speaks for his second time. Senator Christensen.
Thank you, Mr. President. This has been one of the projects that's been on a top priority for this college and certainly for our community, but we've never had the funds to take this forward. Recognizing that prioritization and the desires, the community is volunteering to step up and fill the gap, and so I'd encourage your support.
We're voting on second reading amendment number one to House Bill 237. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Second reading amendment number one to House Bill 237 has passed.
I wonder if that should have been a roll call, Mr. President. No money.
Did you request that? We could sure do it. We're not in the budget bill, but if you'd like to be a roll call vote, we can do it.
Mr. President, I think that it's our policy for any bill on second reading that increases or decreases expenditures is to have a roll call. It's not just the
roll call will be called for. Will the Chief Clerk please call the roll on second reading amendment number one to House Bill 237. Just one second. Senator Christensen.
Just clarification, this doesn't increase our spending. This is not a budget amendment. There is no money attached to this request.
That is correct and in order. Senator Von Flader.
Thank you, Mr. President. I think it just says decrease or increase of funds. We do a roll call. I agree with the good senator from Teton that it doesn't increase or decrease general fund spending or state spending, but I think our rule just says increase or decrease of funds.
Either way, when a Senate requests a roll call, it's in order, and we will have a roll call vote. So please call the roll. We're voting on second reading amendment number one to House Bill 237. Go ahead, Chief Clerk.
Agar?
Aye.
Aye. Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Anselmi Dalton?
Aye.
Aye. Baldwin?
Aye.
Aye. Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Bouchard?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
Aye.
Aye. Christensen?
Aye.
Aye. Coe?
Aye.
Aye. Dockstetter?
Aye.
Aye. Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye. Ellis?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert? Aye. Hicks?
Aye.
Aye. Kinski?
Excused?
Oh. Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer?
Aye.
Aye. Moniz?
Aye.
Aye. Nethercott?
Aye.
Aye. Pappas?
Aye.
Aye. Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
Aye.
Aye. Von Fladen?
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger? Aye. President Bebow?
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote? Closing vote closed. 30 aye.
By your vote, we have adopted second reading amendment number one to House Bill 237. House Bill 237 has amended, being read for the second, having read two separate times. The question is, shall the House bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. House Bill 262, second reading of the House bill.
House Bill 262, Penitentiary Savings Fund.
House Bill 262, having read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, do you have a consent list?
Mr. President, I do have a consent list. I move third reading consent list, which is as follows. Insurance Code Amendments, House Bill 14, Insurance Code Amendments, House Bill 45, Judicial judicial branch budget processes. House Bill 65, Public Safety Communications Reorganization.
Would anyone like any of these bills removed from the consent list? Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the Senate? House Bill 14, Insurance Code Amendments. House Bill 45, Judicial Branch Budget Processes. And House Bill 65, Public Safety Communications Reorganization. Will the Chief Clerk please call the consent list roll call?
Agar?
Aye.
Anderson?
Aye.
Anselmi Dalton?
Aye.
Baldwin?
Aye.
Barnard?
Aye.
Boner?
Aye.
Bouchard?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Dockstetter?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Driscoll?
Aye.
Ellis?
Aye.
Emmerich?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks? Kinski?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Moniz?
Aye.
Nethercott?
Aye.
Pappas?
Aye.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Von Fladern?
Aye.
Wasserberger?
Aye.
President Bebout?
Aye.
On the consent list, 30 aye. House Bill 14, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 14, 30 aye. House Bill 45, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 45, 30 aye. House Bill 65, are there any changes?
Bouchard,
aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 65, 29 aye, 1 no.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 14, Insurance Code Amendments, House Bill 45, Judicial Branch Budget Processes, and House Bill 65, Public Safety Communications Reorganization have passed the Senate. House Bill 8. Third reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 8, engrossed, Student Data Privacy, Security, and Transparency, sponsored by the Education Committee, an act relating to education.
We have an amendment. Will the reading clerk please read that amendment in?
House Bill 8, third reading amendment number 1 to engrossed copy, page 3, line 14.
Senator Kinski.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Move the amendment, please.
I would move the amendment number 1 to House Bill. I would move third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 8.
Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman.
Reading your amendment.
This is kind of a classic classic of government, and this comes with something of an apology to my good friend from the Ivory Tower, though I am pretty determined on the amendment. This was a task force that our good friend from the Ivory Tower worked on. It's a bill from the Joint Education Committee. But when the bill came up on the radar screen of three of my local school districts, they found it objectionable overall. And I regret that because my good friend has tried his best to engage these folks. And in particular, this amendment relates to a concern that my district's raised, which relates to an oft-debated topic that we've had in the legislature about the right of a principal or a teacher to demand of a student under where they have reasonable suspicion to look at their cell phone or their laptop or their social media accounts. And so my districts are worried that this
this rulemaking process out of Cheyenne could be a backdoor to infringing on that authority. And so this amendment simply says that whatever rulemaking this committee may do, they are limited as follows, and I shall share the amendment with you. The extent of the guidelines shall be limited solely to matters that do not implicate a teacher or other school official's authority to access student data, including a student's personal digital information account or any other information on a student's computer, laptop, cell phone, or other electronic communication device in situations involving a violation of the law or a school rule consistent with New Jersey v. TLO, U.S. Supreme Court opinion. And that's the opinion that says if there's exigent circumstances, an emergency, a violation of a school rule, and a teacher has reasonable suspicion, they can demand of that student their cell phone. And we consistently, as a body, have rejected any attempt to infringe on that. And my districts would like to see this amendment put into this statute to assure that they can continue to make those demands without any infringement through the rulemaking authority granted to Cheyenne by this statutory amendment. Thank you, Mr. President. I'll stand for questions.
Further discussion? Mr. Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. I do appreciate the sponsor of this bringing it to me and chatting about it a little bit before we have the opportunity to talk about it on the floor. But I am on and against the amendment. I have a couple of concerns. The first concern, Mr. President, is that this legislation really doesn't do what this amendment is trying to address. That's why we have the other piece of legislation, is this. This is not directed at that. This is directed at providing guidelines to school districts on what best practices are with regard to data security and integrity. Based on our Joint Education Committee receiving testimony from the Department of Audit that only about half of our districts really do a good job with data security and privacy in their districts, but there's no legal enforcement or even a requirement to have data privacy and security procedures in place. So this tries to provide some guidance for that. The second point, Mr. President, that has concern is the reference to this as rulemaking authority. There is no rulemaking authority in this legislation. That's intentional. What there is the ability to draft some guidelines for school districts so that we can provide what best practices look like with regard to data security. And that was intentional once again. We had a lot of testimony, particularly from smaller districts, Mr. President, that indicated that they didn't have the ability to adhere to complicated rules. They just couldn't do it. We couldn't put together a set of rules that was going to work for all the school districts. So this specifically says guidelines, that some of our departments at the state level will provide some guidelines of what best practices look like for the school districts, and then they can take a look at those as they're writing their own policies at the school district level. So this is looking for some things that go bump in the night here and some concepts that couldn't possibly come to fruition. And even if somehow at the state level the guidelines included these types of provisions, there's nothing that says that the school districts have to follow them. It's adopting a policy kind of in accordance with these guidelines, but there's nothing that says that they're required to adhere to all of those guidelines, just that they have to basically take a look at those guidelines. And Mr. President, the third and final concern I have is the idea that we would incorporate one Supreme Court decision and say that we have to adhere to one Supreme Court decision when we're drafting policy is just statutorily awkward. This is a 1985 Supreme Court decision. There have been many other court decisions since this point in time, and this was a point, in fact, prior to a robust digital information world. For us to say that we're going to base our guidelines on New Jersey versus TLO as its premise, I'm not sure where else we do that in statute, referring to I guess it's 30-year-old now, 30-year-old Supreme Court decision, and having to adhere consistently with that while ignoring all of the case law over the last 30 years. But at the end of the day, Mr. President, in my view, this doesn't do very much. It muddies the statute. It sort of confuses it. But I don't think it will actually change to a large degree the policy outcome. So I'd encourage the body to resist the amendment. Because again, it's trying to solve a problem where we're seeing some things that are just going bump in the night on and against the amendment.
Further discussion. Senator Nethercott.
Mr. Chairman, on and against the amendment as it applies to House Bill 8, but maybe more appropriately applied to House Bill 9. So House Bill 8, how I see this bill reading is consistent with the good senator from Albany County, which really is to protect the aggregated data that our school systems are now creating as a result of increasing technology, so that that data can't be sold or misused, not necessarily interfering with a school district's ability to access student data and information. So I support the purpose and intent of House Bill 8. I think it's necessary. I am against the amendment, but would be interested to hear its application to House Bill 9, but of course that only applies to community colleges and the university.
Senator Case.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. I, too, am against this amendment. Mr. President, I just kind of think about what the spirit of this amendment kind of says that they'd like to do. And it has no application to this bill. It's irrelevant to this bill, but we should defeat it. But really just read it. It says we want to allow school officials the authority to access student data, including a student personal digital information account or any other information on a student's computer, laptop, cell phone, or other electronic communication device. Great. Reconcile that with the Wyoming Constitution, Section 4, security against search and seizure, the right of the people. It says people. It doesn't say you have to be out of school and 19. It says people, Mr. Chairman. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers. All of these things are their effects, and the information on it is today's papers. It's no different than having it in my desk drawer being written on a piece of paper, Mr. President. Students deserve the Constitution.
Further discussion. Senator Burchard.
Mr. President, on and against the amendment. I mean, I looked at the case in New Jersey. It was searching a purse, and they found marijuana. I really don't think it's relevant to the bill. Thank you.
Further discussion. Before the sponsor speaks for a second time. Further discussion. Senator Kinski for your second time.
Mr. Chairman, I appreciate the discussion. Let me backtrack a little bit. The amendment is simply intended to preserve what is the law now. The U.S. Supreme Court has said that a teacher or an administrator has the right, when they have reasonable suspicion that a student has violated school policy, to demand of them to look in their purse, to look in their cell phone, what have you. And the districts are simply asking that it be made clear that whatever rulemaking, and we'll discuss that when we get back to the bill exactly what authority this grants to Cheyenne, they're just asking whatever rulemaking authority is granted to Cheyenne if this bill passes. They don't want them muddying the waters on what is clear under this Supreme Court case and its progeny, that as a school official, they have the right to demand of a student, where there's reasonable suspicion, to look in their purse or to look on their cell phone. The reason that they are hypervigilant about this is just because there have been so many privacy bills come through. They are protective of their right to protect their students. I could do no better than to quote the bumper sticker, Johnson County, we haven't trusted Cheyenne since 1892. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
We're voting on third reading amendment number one to House Bill 8. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
That amendment has been defeated. Further discussion on the bill. Further discussion on the bill. Senator Burns.
Mr. President, since we're stopped on this bill anyway, I've got a practical question. It's probably out of ignorance. When the authorities or the school or whoever wants to look at a student's, let's say, cell phone, I recall they've had problems in terrorist cases where they couldn't crack the encryption on the phone, and I'm wondering how this is done. If you've got a sophisticated student, how does the school district do it, or is there some backdoor through the provider?
Senator Nethercott.
Mr. Chairman, or Mr. President, I guess in some ways there's a point of order. I just want to make sure that the scope of House Bill 8 doesn't get lost in this concern over teachers' ability to investigate situations in their school districts. This bill was created because with technology and computer programs, all students' names, information, dates of birth, ages, grades, reports, health issues, teachers' notes, counseling notes, all gets put into one file, which is typically online. And so the danger is, what happens if that information gets hacked? What happens if somebody tries to sell that information? Where does all of this data go? And so this particular bill addresses that issue and says, school districts, you need to create a policy in order to deal with that data to make sure it's protected, that it can't be sold, that it can't be misused, and that there's a plan in place for that aggregated data. This does not address, nor do I believe interferes with the rights of school districts to investigate misconduct on their campuses. This really relates to requiring the districts to create a technology protocol for how to deal with the overwhelming amount of data that they're accumulating because of the students in the classes.
Senator Dockstader.
Thank you, Mr. President. Some question regards to that. I see the words on the front page here, requiring school districts. I see the words access. So still have some concerns and reservations to what we're doing here. Besides, it's been a while since we required the school districts to do anything. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Kinski.
And following up with my good friend, Mr. Golden Voice, Senator Golden Voice to me, I should say, not only is the word requiring on page 1, line 5, but if we skip ahead to page 2, line 14, we see shall develop a data privacy and security plan. Then we go to page 3, lines 14 and 15. The guidelines shall, at a minimum, be in compliance with Federal Educational Rights Privacy Act. Then we go ahead to page 4, line 17. The Board of Trustees in each school district shall, effective January 1, 2018, adopt and enforce a policy regarding collection, access, privacy, security, use of student data, in accordance with the guidelines established by the state superintendent under these rules. That sounds pretty obligatory. And my districts say, Cheyenne, we appreciate the offer of help, but we think we're doing fine. On and against the bill.
Senator Landon.
Well, Mr. President, I wasn't going to stand on this bill, but I will now because I just want to hearken back to 5 or 6 years ago. I think it was me, actually, who brought a bill because some concerns had been raised that Wyoming's data security just wasn't where it needed to be. And you might remember, for those of us who are here, we had a good conversation about how do we protect our students' data privacy. And once the Joint Education Committee and my friend from the Ivory Towers Select Committee got started on this, we realized that the state of Wyoming does a pretty good job of protecting data. But where we're vulnerable, Mr. President, is at the district level. That's where we fear that our student data privacy is at risk. And that's what this bill is all about. It doesn't have anything to do with whether or not we can check a student's cell phone or not. This is all about us adopting a policy to make sure that our student data out there is protected, Mr. President. I think it's a good effort. It's been in progress for the past 5 or 6 years to try to get our arms around this issue of data privacy. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion.
Question.
Senator Burchard.
Mr. President, you know, I just want people to get their arms around this bill. This is just like all that stuff that you read on a website or an email agreement that says that this is our data, we're going to protect it, we're going to make sure that we're not disseminating and giving it to the public. And I think that's what this bill does, and it lets the school district adopt rules to do that. Thank you.
You ready for the question? Question being called for, House Bill 8. Having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall House Bill 8 pass the Senate? Will the Chief Clerk please call the roll?
Agar?
Aye.
Aye. Anderson?
No.
No. Anselmi Dalton?
Aye.
Aye. Baldwin?
No.
No. Barnard? No. Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Bouchard?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
Aye.
Aye. Christensen?
Aye.
Aye. Coe?
Aye.
Aye. Dockstetter? No. Driscoll?
No.
No. Ellis?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert? Aye. Hicks?
No.
No. Kinski?
No.
No. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer?
Aye.
Aye. Moniz?
Aye.
Aye. Nethercott?
Aye.
Aye. Pappas?
Aye.
Aye. Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
No.
No. Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
Aye.
Aye. Von Fladern?
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger?
No.
No. President Bebout?
No.
No. Closing vote? Christensen, I don't know. Closing vote? Closing vote closed. 19 aye, 11 no.
House Bill 8, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 8 has passed the Senate. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, I believe we're ready for that order of business. Bills for consideration on general file.
Mr. President, I move the Senate resolve itself in the Committee of the Whole for consideration of House Bill 229 on general file.
You heard the motion. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Senator Case for this wonderful House bill.
This ought to be fun.
The Committee of the Whole will come to order. The first bill, the only bill, the bill for our consideration is House Bill 229. Would you please read the file?
House Bill 229 engrossed, Game Animals Hunt Consultation Services, sponsored by Representative Summers, an act relating to outfitters and guides, was referred to Committee Number 6, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass. I, Senators Anselmi Dalton, Barnard, Boner, Emmerich, and Moniz, Senator Emmerich, Chair.
You've heard the reading of the file, or the bill. What is your pleasure, Senator Emmerich?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rise to report it, do so with a favorable recommendation that House Bill 229 do pass. On your little shelves, there is a handout about an individual who is selling and guaranteeing hunts for trophy animals by selling GPS locations of trophy deer. He does not guide you. Or this individual does not guide you. He just merely sells you the information, and you can read this for what I consider to be a considerably high price. This is a situation that comes from the western part of the state, and quite honestly, the bringer of the bill was saying, what do we do with these? This treads on some area that they don't really know how to deal with, Mr. Chairman. And so this bill was brought to require these individuals who sell GPS locations to be licensed as outfitters, when in fact they don't even go into the field to hunt with a client that they're selling something to. So the bill is specific on page 1 to place these individuals who sell GPS locations and hunt consultation services by just adding into existing statute to bring these under the auspices of the hunters and guides statutes. And I'll tell you, there was a considerable amount of trepidation in committee where do we put these individuals that sell locations? Are they governed by anything? No. What do we do? And this was the solution, was to place them under the auspices of the guides and outfitters, which then tangentially brings them under federal regulation, because if they have happened to spot some of these deer in federal forests, and it also brings in the game and fish. The entire situation is such that most of these very large trophy deer can usually, once they're spotted in the summer, they will stay in that location usually within 500 to 1,000 meters of that location. So XYZ hunter says, I want to get a big trophy buck. He calls this consultation service, and for a fair amount of money, on the front, $999 to $1,299, this individual will send the GPS locations of that buck, and there you go. You have to go out and get the deer yourself. He will not even, or this individual will not even go with you. We find this, and those on the committee find, it really does violate one of those great hunter tenets of fair chase. And so in an attempt to get a handle on the situation, this little piece of legislation was brought forth to place them under the guides and outfitters regulation. Page two of the bill adds Section B, providing hunt consultation services to a hunter. And as we go through, we are adding that phrase, hunt consultation, all the way down. And then on page three, we are defining what the specific geographic locations by universal coordinates, things of that, maps, drawings, and within 500 meters. I'm at somewhat of a dilemma, Mr. Chairman. I find this violates a lot of hunter tenets, fair chase, things of that sort. And I understand where the bringer of the bill is coming from. We need some control, perhaps. Vote it up, vote it down, but it's a subject that I think needs to have some discussion on this floor. Mr. Chairman, and I'll stand for questions.
Thank you very much, Senator Emmerich. Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I read this bill with some interest, and then I did it particularly in light of some work that we did earlier this session. The fines and penalties under these sections, if the work we did earlier in this session passed through the House, will now be $7,500 for a violation, up to 6 months in jail. So that's what is at risk for doing this. The concerns I have, I've got a couple questions. First of all, is one. Does the First Amendment come into this at all, freedom of speech? I mean, we're here telling people that, I mean, I don't even know you can, you're telling people that you can't either provide, you can't speak about what you've seen on a GPS, and you can't write down on a map where you saw something. So I'm looking at this, and I understand the problem, and it is, you know, bad form, you know, is one thing. Bad form is what fair chase is absolutely a tenet, and it's disgusting. That way, you know, but the other side of that, you know, there's lots of times I've been out, Mr. Chairman, and, you know, it's been big game, you know, big game one and hunter nothing many times. But the other side is I look at this and say, how does this apply? So if my friend was out and he had his GPS, and he said, if you pull out your GPS, I saw a really nice buck here, that's a violation. Well, I guess if I say, you know, that's great, and I'll, you know, thanks for doing that, and we're doing this over lunch at McDonald's, and I pick up his tab, I provide him remuneration, and I've got a violation. Or if I sit down and I met my friend for lunch, and I said, I had a topo map that I bought for $7.50 from the store, and I said, you know, I was out hunting a couple days ago, and I saw a really nice buck here, and I marked on that topo map where I saw that buck,
give it to my friend. He says, let me pay you $750 to reimburse you for your map. I've got a violation. So I understand I think that we've got some problems with this bill. I think we need to figure out a more narrow rifle shot about how you solve this problem. But this one right now is a broad net that puts us all at risk.
Good luck hunting, Mr. Senator. Senator Hicks.
Mr. Chairman, there's no doubt we have an issue here. But this would be a fence that we're building here, folks, that would be admired by the President of the United States. The wall. We're going to build the wall. So let's take the practical applications of what we're doing here. It's perfectly, we're criminalizing somebody that's doing it because they're not what? A licensed outfitter in the state of Wyoming. But guess what? It's not the out-of-state guys. It's everybody in here. Unless you're a licensed outfitter, you're all fenced out. Everybody that hunts in Wyoming is fenced out of being able to do this. And I think to speak to the issue that the good senator behind me talked about, there's an issue here, folks. This is not the tool to get there, because when I read this, I'm probably going to be a criminal under this act.
Oh.
Well, let me explain how this works. For those of us that do hunt and have a lot of friends that hunt, in-state and out-of-state, it's routine for hunters to exchange information all the time. I live in the greatest trophy antelope hunting area in the world. Carbon County, Wyoming. Produces more record book antelope than anywhere in the world. And I work out there every day, and I see an antelope all the time. I don't have a permit in that area, but I got family members and I got friends. And I'll get those GPS locations to you later, Senator. But I routinely go on Google Earth and put a map and send it to them through the email, or as the senator said, you grab a little old USGS topo to my neighbor next door, and I put a circle on it and say, go out here and look in Rotten Springs Draw, folks. Because it doesn't say in here that I have to have financial remuneration for this process. It just says providing hunt consult services to a hunter. I don't even think I have to get reimbursed at McDonald's. And I violated this law. We need to address this issue. This fence just isn't the one that's going to get us there. On and against the bill.
Thank you very much, Senator. Senator Bebach.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Member of the Senate, I've tried really hard to find something in this bill that I like, and I haven't found it. So I appreciate the good chairman's efforts on this bill, but I would hope we defeat it.
Senator Cove, and then Senator Amick.
Mr. Chairman, just one other comment. You know, we talk about deer and we talk about antelope. Up in my country, we're talking about bighorn sheep, mountain goats. What would prevent somebody from going out flying, particularly during sheep season, and these animals are up high, and figuring out where one is, and going back and charging for that? This, as the President has said, this is one of the worst bills I've ever seen.
It gets worse and worse and worse. Senator Amick.
Ditto, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Amick, I'm going to have to read up on the rules here, what we do if it's something fails. But anyway, are you ready for the question? The question is on Senator Emmerich's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, that it do so with a due pass recommendation on House Bill 229. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
I'm unsure. Let's have a division. All those in favor, please rise. Do you have that number? Okay. It took a while to count those, but we've got that number. Would all those opposed please rise? I'm trying to see if this looks close. 25-4. The proposition has failed. There will be a roll call vote pursuant to Senate Rule 6-5.
Agar?
No.
No. Anderson?
No.
No. Anselmi Dalton?
No.
Baldwin?
No.
No. Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Boner?
No.
No. Bouchard?
No.
No. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
No.
No. Christensen?
No.
No. Coe?
No.
No. Dockstetter?
No.
No. Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye. Ellis?
No.
No. Emmerich?
No.
No. Hastert?
No.
No. Hicks?
No.
No. Kinski?
No.
No. Landon?
No.
No. Meyer?
No.
No. Moniz?
No.
No. Nethercott?
No.
No. Pappas?
No.
Perkins?
No.
No. Peterson?
No.
No. Rothfuss?
No.
No. Scott?
No.
No. Von Fladern?
No.
No. Wasserberger?
No.
No. President Bebel?
No.
No. Closing vote? Closing vote closed. 3-27-0.
House Bill 229, having failed a roll call vote pursuant to Senate Rule 6-5A, is deemed indefinitely postponed. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, that clears the desk.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move the committee to hold for House Bill 229, rise and report.
You've heard the motion. What is your pleasure? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed, no. Committee will rise and report.
Yeah. Reading clerk, please read the committee of the whole report.
Mr. President, your committee of the whole, having had under consideration a bill on general file, begs leave to report as follows. House Bill 229 failed to pass committee of the whole and was indefinitely postponed. Senator Case, Chairman.
Senator Case.
Mr. President, I move for adoption of the committee of the whole report.
You heard the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The committee of the whole report has been adopted. Senator Office.
I have the privilege of the floor, Mr. President.
You may.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, a little over 10 years ago, this body and the body down the hall passed a piece of legislation called the Drug Donation Program Act. It's been highly successful, and since 2008, that act has led to more than 88,000 pounds of donations being processed in Wyoming, 28 collection sites, and about $12.5 million worth of medications to Wyoming residents. And the reason I bring that up, Mr. President, is that it was recently awarded through the Ash Center for Democratic Governance and Innovation at the John F. Kennedy School of Government, Harvard University, as a 2017 Bright Ideas in Government initiative. So this is a program that was started for the first time in the state of Wyoming in 2005, is now nationally recognized as one of the best ideas in governance. And we've got a couple of senators here that were co-sponsors of that 2005 legislation. Senator Hastert and Senator Case were the sponsors on that. Senator Hastert was the prime sponsor over in the House on that piece of legislation. And a third senator who we all know well, Senator John Barrasso, was a co-sponsor on that piece of legislation as well. So I think it would be in order for the Senate to give a nice round of applause to our two present senators. And assuming John Barrasso is listening right now, make sure that round of applause is some warmth for Senator Barrasso as well. So if the Senate could congratulate our legislators on some good governance.
I guess the question I would have, Senator Office, are there any senators in the chamber that voted against it?
Of course not.
Well, look.
There being none. With that order of business, third reading, Senate File 1. Will the Chief Clerk please read in the Senate file?
Senate File 1, General Government Appropriations 2, an act relating to supplemental appropriations for the operation of state government.
We do have some amendments, members of the Senate. I think the count is 33. Will the reading clerk please read in third reading amendment number 1.
Senate File 1, Third Reading Amendment Number 1, Section 1, Office of the Governor, Section 2, Secretary of State, page 6, line 5.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move Third Reading Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 1. Mr. President, a little discussion about why I brought this amendment. The history on this particular effort for public relations, I think, was in the beginning kind of thwarted by the JAC when they denied the public relations efforts in this particular agency. Yet, when a vacancy occurred, it went forward, and I think that it's been used relatively effectively. It's been used to try to instill voter participation in the folks ages 18 through 24, primarily in the areas around UW and some of our community colleges, to try to get the young folks, I guess, into the election process. And that's, I think, is a very important goal. Wyoming has been low on that percentage as far as participation rate in that age group, and I think that was a laudable goal of the Secretary of State to try to affect that. There was some, I think, a transmission from the Secretary of State to most folks to their communicated, and I wanted to clear up some of the misperceptions that particular agency had with the amendment. One, which is a bit troubling to me, is that this is would be merely a transfer of a position and not a hiring and a firing. So I wanted to make sure that everybody knew that in no way, shape, or form I intended to give anybody a pink slip. I think you know the efforts I've had on early retirement, that that's something that I don't want to do. But, Mr. President, the other reason I brought that was that although the top five elected officials do have some need for public relations in by itself necessarily, from my perspective, though they may be necessary to provide information, necessarily they're not needed for the direct, I guess, benefit of our constituents for services rendered. So it's kind of one of those things that you want people to know what's going on, but you're not actually doing anything for the people. You might make aware of different programs and different things that might be available to them. That's always helpful. But in Mr. President, after I developed this, I found that we do have other of the top five elected officials that do have some public relations personnel in their different departments. And I thought we needed to have a discussion to maybe bring a broader understanding of maybe how we can get some efficiencies in public relations between the top five elected officials. But, Mr. President, I think at this time, with the information that I had, with the other some of the other top five having public relations, some of them not having public relations, I thought it important to have the governor to have some flexibility in this range. But I think I need a little bit more study, Mr. President, to find out the other top five elected officials' public relations efforts, what they're actually doing, and the actual need for this. And I would hope at some time perhaps we could have some discussion about how we can make that aspect, which they feel is important, more efficient rather than redundant in many areas. So, Mr. President, at this time I'd ask to withdraw the amendment.
Third reading amendment number 1 has been, without objection, has been withdrawn.
I went through all that. Yeah, I went through it. Yeah.
Third reading, amendment number 25. Will the reading clerk please read it in?
Senate File 1, third reading amendment number 25, Section 1, Office of the Governor, Section 85, Wyoming Business Council, page 6, line 8.
Senator Case.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. I would like to move third reading amendment number 25, as soon as the fight's over back here, Mr. Chairman, to Senate File 1. Mr. Chairman, let's do this real quick while the Appropriations Chairman's back here. This is the Tribal Relations. All seriousness, Mr. President, I'm back at the well, you guys. I think it's important. I don't ask for much. This is $80,000. It's supported by the governor. It's supported, by the tribal governments. And what it does is allow for the continuation of the liaison program, with the liaisons being employees of the state of Wyoming and working for the governor. The governor recently accepted the resignation of one of the liaisons, and I think that's a good thing, a new start, clearing the way. But it also shows these employees work for the governor. Why is it important? Why is it important? First off, there's about, 28,000 people that live on the Wind River Reservation, maybe 25,000. They're very important citizens of the state of Wyoming. The state of Wyoming provides all sorts of services to those folks, some directly, but some in partnership with the tribal government processes. Tribal government has its own fish and game. It has its own Department of Family Services. It has its own transportation department. It has its own water departments, all of which interact with the same departments that we have, that we provide services, like Department of Transportation, Department of Health, Law Enforcement, Department of Family Services, Education, Game and Fish, and Forestry. That's just some that I can think of. All of these different agencies interact. Some of them have their own way of making the interaction happen, but it doesn't always work very well. And it is so nice, so helpful, and such a good thing to have a liaison position to help to facilitate in that area. There's a point that we also need to make. Is this a one-way street? Aren't we always just giving money to the tribes? I hear that. And you know what? The state of Wyoming assesses severance taxes on minerals from tribal lands. So for oil and gas, it's the same 6% that we collect everywhere, and we've been collecting that money for a very long time. It's millions and millions of dollars, Mr. President. We've only recently begun to do a better job of balancing the equation, so to speak, by providing more state services here. It's only recently that the tribes have qualified for grants and aid and water development funds. But coordination is really important, and we need two of them. Because there are two tribes, and to try to, it'd be like asking Norway and Sweden to sit down in the same room and have one delegate to the European Union, for example, or something like that. It's such a small amount of money. It's such a big, important thing, and it's a time when there are new people on both tribal councils. There's significant things that we're all working through. I ask for your support. Thank you, Mr. President.
For the discussion, Senator Burns.
Thank you, Mr. President. This has been litigated a few days ago, and I will just remind the body that the idea here was not to cut back to one liaison representing two tribes. The idea behind this was to get to have two liaisons and either have it be a part-time job because we cannot see the full-time nature of it, or have the both tribes pony up some of their money to pay for this liaison. If they are indeed a liaison or they're an advocate for the tribes, why are we paying for that? If the tribes want somebody to advocate for them to the governor's office, we'll still pay for half under the current arrangement.
Further discussion? Senator Meyer.
Mr. President, this is the wrong time to strain the relationships between the tribes and the state. If there's any bright time that ever would exist or ever has existed. Mr. President, I think it's a reasonable amount of money to keep those relationships as strong as they can be. There's a lot of things going on the reservation. There's a lot of development going on up there that's going to be good for the state and good for the tribes. This isn't the time to go muddying the waters, Mr. President. So I ask that the body do support this.
Further discussion? Further discussion? We're voting on Senator Case for your second time.
Mr. President, the sharing mechanism won't work. We have tried that before, Mr. President, because it requires that the delegation of authority not be clear. It becomes unclear who works for who, and we have had arguments in the past about unnecessary arguments about expenditures. So I don't recommend that. I do not recommend that. And, Mr. President, there's plenty of work to do for two people. There's lots of programs. What has to happen is that performance is guaranteed by the governor's office. The governor has to hold them to standards, and if not, he needs to ask for the resignations. But, Mr. President, it is definitely a full-time job. It's not a lot of money. We spend millions interacting with tribal governments, and they provide us millions in tax revenue off their minerals. Thank you, Mr. President.
We're voting on third reading amendment number 25 to Senate File 1. Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Agar?
No.
No. Anderson?
No.
No. Anselmi Dalton?
No.
No. Baldwin?
No.
No. Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Boner?
No.
No. Bouchard?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
No.
No. Case?
Aye.
Aye. Christensen?
No.
No. Coe?
No.
No. Dockstetter?
No.
Driscoll?
No.
No. Ellis?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
No.
No. Hastert?
No.
Hicks?
No.
No. Kinski?
No.
No. Landon?
No.
No. Meyer?
Aye.
Aye. Moniz?
No.
No. Nethercott?
Aye.
Aye. Pappas?
No.
No. Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
No.
No. Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
Aye.
Aye. Von Platern? No. Wasserberger? No. President Bebout?
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 10 aye, 20 no.
By your vote, third reading amendment number 25 to Senate File 1 has failed. Next amendment for our consideration is third reading amendment number 2. Reading clerk, please read it in.
Senate File 1, Third Reading Amendment Number 2, Section 7, Wyoming Military Department, page 14, line 10.
Senator Boner.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I withdraw Third Reading Amendment Number 2, Senate File 1.
Without objection, Third Reading Amendment Number 2 has been withdrawn. Third Reading Amendment Number 20. Reading clerk, please read that one in.
Senate File 1, Third Reading Amendment Number 20, Section 9, Wyoming Pipeline Authority, Section 48, Department of Health, page 17, line 6.
Mr. Vice President.
Thank you, Mr. President. This came up a little quicker than I expected it to. I move Third Reading Amendment Number 20 to Senate File 1.
Withdraw.
That'll be the easy way to do this. So, if you, fellow senators, if you look at their budget for the Wyoming Pipeline Authority, they have $795,000, which means they have taken 20%, better than 20% out of their budget for operations. And their operation goes to travel, have somebody show up at the hearings for different various pipeline permitting, or changes in permitting, which happens, and we don't know about it. These people monitor that. They make presentations. They have, I think, 3 employee total. And at the time that we need that differential to remain as little as possible, I can remember we were losing over $1.50 a cubic, 1,000 cubic feet of gas price. It used to be Opal would be it. Excuse me, I think I can say Opal here. Opal would be at a couple bucks, and Henry Hub would be at $3.50 and $4. And they've brought that differential on average down to less than 40 cents. So we are gaining for every penny we put into this commission, we are gaining back probably 2 to 3 cents. So I would say that this is a good deal. They need their full budget. Let's put the $200,000 back in there. And we do that on page 17, line 6, and then we go to page 40, which is the Department of Health, and we strike out $200,000 out of their general fund, and then we go to page 40, line 17, and we put in $200,000 of their new tobacco funds that they've received recently and put that in on other funds and tell them that they can, in any manner that they want to use that $200,000 in tobacco funds, which you cannot use on the Pipeline Authority. You need to use general funds, and that's why we did that switch for them. So I ask for your aye vote on amendment number 20 to third reading amendment number 20 to Senate File 1.
Further discussion? Senator Scott?
Mr. President, am I correct in reading this amendment and that this is a net increase in our spending of $200,000?
Just a second before the sponsor of the amendment speaks for a second time. Further discussion? Senator Perkins.
I'll try and answer that question just in case the sponsor has something to add in his second time. The answer to the question is yes. I mean, what there is there is some tobacco money that was unexpected that's showing up, and so what this is a fund swap so that the tobacco money will go and use. So tobacco fund money is limited to a specific number of uses under statute. This applies it where it can be used, and which frees up general funds that then would be used to do this.
Further discussion on the amendment. Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Briefly, the webs we weave down here. I understand the philosophy behind this, but taking tobacco trust settlement money and saying it's going to replace this general fund money is like giving me some type of funny money. And the reason I say that, Mr. Chairman, is we know that tobacco trust money is not always going to be there. And so, you know, this is coming out of their general fund, the Department of Health, Behavioral Services, and being swapped for tobacco trust money. So those are my concerns. And I don't know, Mr. President, what happened to our concern as a Senate to earmarking. You know, I came on board a few years ago, and I missed that bloodletting that happened with de-earmarking, and not many ever left over from that bloodbath, but I was brought up for the last 10 years of saying we never want to go through that again. And here we are in this session, because of our fiscal constraints and downturn, we're earmarking left and right. And that's a bill that we're going to have to pay. It's going to come due. We know it. And many of you don't because you weren't here. And I wasn't here, but I was for 10 years instructed we will not earmark. And here we are. So I would urge the body to vote no against this amendment.
Senator Perkins, for your second time.
I would take issue with the fact that this is earmarking. I don't think it is. This is one-time money that's coming in. You're saying we're going to move this here. It's not earmarking. All you're doing is this is a fund swap. We've done this with AMLs. We've done it with all kinds of money. When you have restricted uses over else, money's fungible, folks. You move it here. If you have certain restrictions on money that comes here and you move it here, it frees up that general fund money, which then can be used for any purpose. This isn't an earmark. This will expire at the end of this, but this budget, which is not quite 18 months from now. So this is one-time money. This is not earmarking because this will go away at the end of this budget. So let's just be precise in how we speak about the budget and what we're doing with the money. It is a swap, but it is not an earmark, and it is not permanent.
Senator Burns.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I'm somewhat ambivalent on this. I can understand that the cause and the desire to put this money back into the Wyoming Pipeline Authority, and it's kind of a Rube Goldbergian method of doing it. The concern I have, frankly, is actually nobody gets particularly harmed. It is a $200,000 increase in spending, and so I think I'm pretty much against it, even though I'm real hesitant to stand up against the vice president, the majority floor leader, and probably the president in my desire on this amendment. My other concern is what this does to the – it kind of complicates our life for the next general budget, because if I understand this correctly, the standard budget amount will come back a lower for behavioral health, and we're talking basically mental health. With that, I'm reluctantly against it.
Okay, Senator Peterson, for your second time.
Thank you, Mr. President, and that's why I refer to it as funny money. We take a hit in behavioral health for $200,000 and replaced one-time money for 1 year, $200,000. And then what do we do the second, third, and fourth, fifth, sixth year? That money's gone. So on against the amendment.
Senator Meyer?
Yeah, and a little bit of clarification along the same lines of I think the thread that the good chairman from Appropriation was talking about is the $200,000 that goes into into the pipeline authority. Will that come back as $400,000 and be biannualized next year? So that's something that I'd like to find out. And where, you know, we do have a modest degree of earmarking going on here, but boy, what a laundry job, Mr. President.
Mr. Vice President, you want to come up here for a second, please?
Oh, boy. Here we go. Yeah. That guy's good.
Mr. President.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Mr. Vice President, on and in favor of third reading amendment number 20, and first of all about the earmarking, you know, this really is one-time money. And it's not a matter of taking money out of the Department of Health. What we're doing, we realize a $2 million surplus that came in about a month ago on the tobacco settlement. It's a prioritization call. When we put the money over there and roll it out the other side, we're not affecting that budget. We're saying we have $200,000, this one-time money. And the question for you, Senator, is to have you prioritize how we spend it. Is it important to do this here? Or leave it over there for something we might use in the future. My suggestion to you is very important. We heard from the Vice President about the benefits of this. What I would like to have you do, if you really don't like this program, you then eliminate it, because when we come back, we're going to have a budget session in 2 years. Look at trying to eliminate it if that's what you really want to do, because they're not doing the job. But right now, to cut their legs off, you used that term the other day, I believe, my colleague from the northern part of the state. If you're going to cut their legs off, don't do it this way. Let them have the money they need to operate properly. The money we spend here could reap big benefits and huge benefits to the state of Wyoming. I would ask that you support this amendment. If it, during the interim we feel like they're not doing their job, let's hold them accountable. Let's see if we need to eliminate it. I will tell you, members of the Senate, we thought about combining this with the Infrastructure Authority. A lot of testimony, a lot of effort made by the Minerals Committee. They decided not to do it. They figured because of the situation we find ourselves in right now with the state revenue, this is very important to move forward in this, the help they will give us for our revenue. So I'd ask that you support it. Further discussion? Senator Nethercott.
Mr. President, if I could get some clarification for why the JAC cut the $200,000 from the Pipeline Authority to begin with. I'm sure that was mentioned before. Just a reminder. And then also from the bringers of the amendment, perhaps to provide some of the newer members why this is so important and exactly what it is the Pipeline Authority is doing that's so critical at this time. I don't think we have a clear picture of that. So some more information on the Pipeline Authority would be helpful. Thank you.
Senator Office.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just a little background then on the Pipeline Authority and what it has done. We have two authorities. We've got the Infrastructure Authority and the Pipeline Authority in the state of Wyoming that are actually, I guess, what you'd call quasi-governmental agencies. We set them up and established them in a way where they would be part, to some degree, of the Wyoming government, funded through appropriations, but also have some independence from the government as an ability to develop and further infrastructure and pipeline projects in the state. They have bonding authority, independent, non-government-backed bonding authority for projects, and their missions are to basically further, for the Pipeline Authority, the development of pipelines, that's natural gas, oil, other types of pipelines within the state, and to help to develop those projects. And then for the Infrastructure Authority, their intended purpose is specifically towards transmission lines and other similar type of electric power generation infrastructure. So these two authorities have both been successful over the years in accomplishing their objectives. The Pipeline Authority, as the Vice President mentioned, was instrumental in developing a pipeline called the Ruby Kern Pipeline from that linked us through the Opal hub into major marketplaces and ended up leading to a change in the differential between the natural gas price in the state of Wyoming, where we are now at the Opal hub, very similar in price to the Henry hub. We lag about 15-ish cents sometimes, but overall we're similar to the market, whereas previously at the peak of our production, we ended up having lags that were dollars at sometimes per MCF, where we were then losing millions to hundreds of millions of dollars over the course of a year because we didn't have direct access to market. So when we're looking at the Infrastructure Authority in particular, that's their objective, is to make sure that Wyoming minerals have access to the marketplace. Typically it's natural gas and oil, but they certainly have other provisions in their authority. They also recently have an added requirement or obligation to look at trying to get our export capacity up so that we're getting to the Northwest or West Coast to get coal on the marketplace. That's a new authority that the Minerals Committee gave them a couple of years ago that they've been working on through their projects. So it's a very small office. They typically, number in the single digits, low single digits of staff, but they have very specific objectives, and then they try to communicate and collaborate across the government to get those missions accomplished. As I mentioned, Mr. President, both of those authorities have been successful in important projects in the past. And with that, I honestly, I'm on and for this particular amendment. I think it's important that we keep these two bodies funded. They do. The one accomplishment with the Ruby Kern pipeline alone pays for the Wyoming Infrastructure Authority probably for several thousand years. So we did well on that one. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion. Senator Hicks.
Just real quick, do we have any big pipelines in the work right now that we're looking at trying to transmit? I know in my area, which is one of the largest gas-producing areas in Wyoming, our production's down about 36%. in the greater Wamsutter area out there compared to where it was 6-7 years ago. Do we have other big projects out there that are in the pipeline right now?
For the discussion, Senator Byrne, for your second time.
Thank you, Mr. President, for my second time, and in answer, or at least partial answer, to the good lady's question, and I thank the senator from Laramie for filling in most of the information. The other part of the question was why we cut it, and it was in a partial answer was given by the good senator from Carbon County. Production is down all over the state, therefore carrying capacity to carry is down, and there are no projects on the horizon at the moment. These two authorities have done a good job, and we do not want to end them, but the fact is we had a job to cut money out of the budget. We're trying to cut $100 million for the next biennium. We cut another $30 million plus a bunch of vacancies this time. This is a policy question. If the body didn't like the cuts we made, fine. That's why we have the amendment process. I mean, I'm not going to curl up in a ball and suck my thumb if the Senate decides to spend a little more money coming back. But these are the cuts that we made. And this is my second time, so I can't answer another question.
Senator Nethercott, for your second time.
Mr. President, I'm on and for the amendment. It appears that this is one of those quasi-governmental agencies within the state that actually has the ability to bring revenue back for us, which is extremely critical, and in the long term will probably help the Department of Health rather than this money immediately. So I am on and for the amendment.
Further discussion. Further discussion before the sponsor speaks for a second time. Senator Von Flater.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to thank the gentleman from the Ivory Tower. He handled that question very well in the description of what the Pipeline Authority does. I will tell you the Pipeline Authority, and, well, let me say that we've all realized when the commodity prices of our minerals go down, we get hurt, and then we're trying to make up for the Ed Department, for the Health Department. That was mentioned earlier, that we will help them. And this is one group that does. And truly, I had a $1.50 or $2 differential going into this when I first came down here. And the Pipeline Authority allowed for access for our gas and our oil to get out of this state. And that differential went down to as 15 cents to 40 cents average. So that's a big deal when you're 1,000 miles from your market. So this Pipeline Authority does bring money back. and eventually will raise or at least monitor and help us get our prices of our commodities back up. So I ask you to vote aye on amendment number 20.
We're voting on third reading amendment number 20 to Senate file 1. Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Agar?
Aye.
Aye. Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Anselmi Dalton?
Aye.
Aye. Baldwin?
No.
No. Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Bouchard?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
No.
No. Case?
No.
No. Christensen?
Aye.
Aye. Coe?
Aye.
Aye. Dockstetter?
Aye.
Aye. Driscoll? Aye. Ellis?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert?
No.
No. Hicks?
No.
No. Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer?
Nope.
No. Moniz?
Aye.
Aye. Nethercott?
Aye.
Aye. Pappas?
Aye.
Aye. Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson? No. Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
No.
No. Von Fladeren?
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger?
No.
No. President Bebout?
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote? Closing. Hastert? No to aye. Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 22 aye, 8 no.
By your vote, third reading amendment number 20 to Senate File 1 has passed. Third reading amendment number 26. Reading clerk, please read in the amendment.
Senate File 1, third reading amendment number 26, section 10, Department of Agriculture, page 18, line 4.
Senator Boner.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move third reading amendment number 26 to Senate File 1 and ask for the body's favorable consideration. What we are attempting to do here with this amendment is basically go into the Department of Agriculture's Administrative Division and have the next three positions that become vacant, have those positions be shut down and transferred to Predator Control Board. That's the intent of the amendment. And the reason behind it is we saw some exceptionally significant cuts in the Department of Agriculture, two programs which directly benefit not just agriculture, but certainly important for other initiatives that are affect everybody in the state, like ensuring that sage-grouse have a good recovery, that we protect that species. That's some of the things that the Predator Board does. Not only just helps our ag folks, but it helps overall in our conservation efforts in the state. And just to give you a little bit of an idea, we took $1.2 million out of the $5.2 million that had been going to our counties all throughout the state and have great benefits to those this entire state. And we accompany that, we're exactly zero administrative reductions. There are no positions eliminated except for one vacant position. And this is not going to, once you want to verify and make it absolutely clear that we're not looking to give anybody pink slips here. We're simply encouraging and ensuring that the Department of Agriculture becomes more efficient administratively and ensure that not every last burden of these cuts is thrown out throughout the state and onto our counties. So that's the reasoning behind the amendment. Certainly look forward to a good discussion on this and ask you to support it.
Further discussion. Senator Von Flader.
Thank you, Mr. President. My question to the sponsor would be, did you consider any federally funded? So if the vacancy happened in the federally funded person, there'd be no money to move that position over. And then also, did you go to the administration of the Ag Department and consider the director or somebody, if he leaves, you move that position over and they don't have a director, or they have to get rid of some other position to create this position of director? I'm trying to decide whether I support this or not, but those questions did come to mind.
For the discussion, Senator Hicks.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, just for the sponsor, just some questions on this. How many people in the Department of Agriculture are in the Administrative Division? And what happens is how far does this reach? Is this, if they all, that total number in the life of this bill all resigned or took early retirement or whatever,
Does it affect every single administrative position, and is there any floor on this?
Before this, Senator Scott.
Mr. President, a technical question on this. You're transferring 100 series. Am I right in thinking the concept is that the money will cease to be 100 series money and then can be spent out in the field, and that the real problem is that, as in many agencies, the administrators have taken care of themselves first at the expense of what's being done in the field, and this is trying to redress that balance? Is that what's going on, and does the amendment actually, the way it's drawn, actually, Appropriations Committee, does that actually transform it to 100 series, to some other series that can be spent out in the field?
Senator Coe.
Mr. President, neither on or against the amendment, but I just want to caution the body because I think what we're doing here, we're going into an agency, and it concerns me a little bit because we're kind of micromanaging. We're going in and telling them how to do things, and so I caution the body on this. I'm not sure this is a good practice in the budget process.
Further discussion, Senator Kinski.
Mr. President, thank you. My good friend from Cody, I'd say it's not micromanaging, it's managing. And I want to agree with my friend from Bates Creek. That's exactly what's going on here. We've seen programs out in the field, boots on the ground, sacrificed. And we have assurance from folks who are familiar with the department that these three positions, were they to become vacant, could be consolidated adequately. There are currently, this budget, portion of the budget, has 10 FTEs and a $2.6 million budget, which has taken a 3.8% cut. By contrast, predator programs have taken a cut of 30% just in this year alone. Carbon County, 60% cut to their predator control programs. Natrona County, 57% cut. Johnson County, 37% cut. Campbell County, 38% cut. Sheridan County, 59% cut. The intent and spirit of this amendment is to redress that balance between the administration in Cheyenne and the need in the fields. So in the western half of the state for predator control, the state must contract with the USDA Wildlife Services for control of federally managed species. If we want raven control, that money has to come from the state of Wyoming. Ravens, of course, as we know, are a number one source of predation on sage-grouse nests. We have to pay for all those wildlife service personnel and AMDB project. These predator damage funds also support projects that limit the impact of predators on mule deer, bighorn sheep, antelope, and, of course, sage-grouse. We've not only has control of these predators been essential for ag, but it's been critical for wildlife. We've seen increases in sage-grouse population where we've had control of the predators. And we've actually seen where a state to the south and to the state southwest are actually emulating some of our predator control programs just at the time that we are cutting them back. There's been, and where there has been special projects from the damage control funding, we've seen that marked increase in fawn recruitment and a favorable impact on mule deer in areas where there's been years of decline. With respect to the sage-grouse, there's been a number of studies that demonstrate the control of these predators results in a significant increase in the production and survival of sage-grouse. That's critical because we absolutely, positively must avoid an endangered species listing on the sage-grouse. Now, we all hope that the new Congress and the new administration will pare back on some of those environmental regulations, but, folks, that's not going to happen quickly. And in the meantime, we've got to move from protecting bureaucracy to protecting our economy, protecting our wildlife, and protecting ourselves from an endangered species listing on and for the amendment. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Dockstader.
Clarification, because I'm not sure quite what I heard. I thought I may have heard that this department is clear in the consolidation. If these positions open up, I thought I heard that they're okay with consolidating, bringing things back together, making sure the field was taken care of. So when it goes back to the original sponsor, could we have that clarification?
Senator Bernard, were you going to get up and speak? I thought I saw you. The floor is yours.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm on the Agriculture Board. We had a meeting with the Department of Agriculture. At the end of the meeting, I went up and spoke to a certain person who runs that administration, and I said, do you have enough money to run your things that you are statutorily required to do? And without even a glimpse or any kind of waiting, he says, no, we cannot meet this, some of our requirements that we're statutorily required to do. So now you're going to take a position away from these people. They need that money. So I say, vote against this amendment.
Further discussion. Senator Scott, for your second time.
Mr. President, on and against the amendment. Mr. President, my district, it includes many of the acres of Natrona County. Mr. President, my district is inhabited by many coyotes. I hear them singing at night. They're very melodious. You can really hear them. And, Mr. President, I feel I've got to represent them. They are an essential part of our ecosystem. Mr. President, if this amendment should pass, what we're doing is removing bureaucrats here in Cheyenne that do not molest the coyotes of our state. They confine their activities to pushing paper safely within government office buildings here. And we're going to replace them, Mr. President, by people who are going to go out and harass my coyotes, who are going to cause, they're going to destroy some of them. They're going to cause many of the coyotes to become single parents, and they're going to have to prey on sheep and other things like that in order to feed their young and keep their numbers up. And, Mr. President, our experience is they will do exactly that. And I think it's you're just being mean to the coyotes. The bureaucrats are safe. These other folks aren't. So, for that reason, Mr. President, on and against.
Okay, Senator Hicks,
Mr.
for your President, second time.
Mr. President, for my second time, and just I'd like some clarification on that. Knowing the nature of the good senator's Senate district, I'm just wondering if he could clarify and specify whether those were two-legged coyotes or four-legged coyotes that he was referencing about their melodious tunes in the evening.
Senator Kinski, for your second time.
Second time briefly, Mr. Chairman. I want to clarify, somebody asked whether the department itself was okay with this. I don't believe they would be. They've not taken much of a cut in this administration. My statement is, I've spoken to people knowledgeable about the operation of the department, and they believe that this consolidation can take place over time without impairing the functioning of the department. Thank you, Mr. President.
Anybody else? Senator Agar.
The amendment. I also want to point out we've heard some files earlier this year about the health risk of rabies and whatnot, and these predator boards that are being cut so substantially, they also deal with our pests such as skunks, raccoons, foxes, and on down the board and or on down the line, especially in our rural areas. And so if we cut their budgets as substantially as we have, they're not going to be able to rein these populations of these pests in. Thank you, Mr. President.
Okay. Pass. Senator DeBarner, for your second time.
Thank you, Mr. President. Certainly appreciate the good discussion. Hope we answered everybody's questions. Just like to address, I guess, some of the concern that I've heard about whether the administration and Department of Agriculture will be able to handle these cuts. And, you know, I just have to go back to my own time in government service. When I had a staff job, we had a section of four people, and on any given day, any given for months at a time, we'd lose two people to go off to do temporary duty somewhere else. We saw a 50% reduction in our staff, and it wasn't the end of the world. And I say that a little bit of tongue-in-cheek because we're responsible for the correct targeting of 150 nuclear missiles. We're responsible for all the top-secret information in that unit. And so going back to my own experience in government service, you can make adjustments, and maybe it's not ideal. Maybe it's not something you do voluntarily, but I have the most confidence in our Department of Agriculture that they'll be able to handle this, and we can get these funds where they need to be, helping out our constituents. On for the amendment.
Okay, we're voting on third reading amendment, number 26, to Senate File 1. Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Agar?
Aye.
Aye. Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Anselmi Dalton?
No.
No. Baldwin?
Aye.
Aye. Barnard?
No.
No. Boner? Aye. Bouchard?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
No.
No. Christensen?
Aye.
Aye. Coe?
No.
No. Dockstetter?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye. Ellis?
No.
No. Emmerich?
No.
No. Hastert?
Aye.
Aye. Hicks?
Aye.
Aye. Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer?
Aye.
Moniz?
Aye.
Aye. Nethercott?
No.
No. Pappas?
Aye.
Aye. Perkins?
No.
No. Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
No.
No. Scott?
No.
No. Von Platern?
No.
No. Wasserberger?
Aye.
Aye. President Bebout?
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 19 aye, 11 no.
By your vote, third reading amendment number 26 to Senate File 1 has passed. Senator Case.
May I have privilege of the floor?
You may.
Mr. President, I'm honored to have some friends and neighbors and guests from the Wyoming Outdoor Council in the fishbowl with us today. It's the Wyoming Outdoor Council board and staff. As you all know, this is the 50th anniversary of the Wyoming Outdoor Council, and I'd like the members and staff to rise in the gallery. And this organization's been around for 50 years. We appreciate the Senate and our friends down the hall providing a resolution that we gave to them last night recognizing this great organization started by Tom Bell, family friend and a teacher of mine, war hero, and these folks do a great job for Wyoming. Join me in welcoming them. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Senator Case, and welcome to the Senate. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that we take a five-minute recess, give the staff a chance to stretch our legs.
And before we do, Senator Rothfuss, our junior senator must have been listening to your discussion this morning earlier. He's notified us that he's in the area and would like to come by and visit with us. So I'm glad that he's listened to the good work the Senate is doing. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. And just by way of informing the body, before we vote on the motion, just doing a little bit of math, looks like between 6:30 and 7 o'clock tonight at the rate we're going. So there you go.
The Senate will stand in recess till the sound of the gavel.
Charlie told me all the two-legged coyotes.
Senate will come to order. Representative Dirks, I hope someone recognizes you back there. I do. Senator Wasserberger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I mean, Mr. President.
Touche. Senator Wasserberger, the floor is yours.
Mr. President, I believe there are only three people that can call you that. And myself, Senator Case, and Senator Meyer all served under you as Speaker. Is that everybody? But then also as President. But that's not why I'm standing up.
Good.
But I would like to introduce to you former Representative Ross Dirks from Niobrara County, good friend of ours, good friend of Senator Case's.
Who? Senator Dirks, or Representative Dirks. Good to have you here. Since I'm sitting up here in the chair, I'm going to take the liberty. You all need to hear Representative Dirks' voice. It's incredible. Ross, would you like to say anything to members of the Senate, or would you like to pass?
Members of the Senate, it's a privilege to be here, and I thank you very much, Senator Wasserberger and Senator Case and President Bebout. We have some Lusk Middle School students, the eighth grade from Niobrara County, and they're eager to hear you in action. Thank you very much for this.
Yeah, would those students from Lusk please stand up? Where are you at? Welcome. There you go. Ross, it's really good to see you. Thanks for those words, and thanks for being here, and thanks for all you've done for the state of Wyoming and your service. Okay, we're on third reading amendment, number three to Senate file, Senator Kinski.
Mr. President, privilege the floor.
You may.
Mr. President, you have remarked previously about how some members of this body are fortunate to have married beyond above their station. And I count myself amongst those who married very, very well. And I just want to share with you a story about my wife, Donna, from today. So I got a text early this morning. We have an office building, and there was a fire in that office building. Fortunately, nobody was hurt. So finally I got a hold of her, and she said, I said, you need me to drive home? She goes, no. I just got out of the shower. I'll go down and take care of it. You run off to the legislature. I'll take care of the burning building. So I just thought you'd enjoy that one. Thank you.
Okay, third reading amendment number three to Senate File 1. Reading clerk, please read it in.
Senate File 1, third reading amendment number 3, Section 10, Department of Agriculture, Section 85, Wyoming Business Council, page 18, line 15.
Senator Bonner.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move third reading amendment number 3 to Senate File 1 and ask for the body's favorable consideration. Ladies and gentlemen, what this amendment is getting at is, once again, we had a very severe cut in our state fair program, a 30% cut going through the appropriations process. And what we're looking to do here is put 150 of that back in to help soften the blow and keep our fees somewhat low, especially for our 4-H or FFA kids. These members of our community who look forward to going to the state fair, and certainly I think we all know the value of those programs. So in looking for a source of funding, came up with the Business Council, precisely because of the value of the programs that our kids learn by participating in this fair. They learn hard work. They learn how to balance a checkbook. They learn responsibility at a very young age. These are the skills that are going to help them later in life to become successful business people, to give them the opportunity to learn how to learn. And I think that's a very important part of our economic development. If we don't have that work ethic installed in our young people, if we don't have that those practical abilities of knowing how to balance a checkbook, it makes it all the more difficult to actually develop our economy even further. So that's what we're looking at doing. Just restoring 150 out of the 400,000, we're still going to raise fees. we're still going to burn through that enterprise fund, and I think that's entirely appropriate. But we'll just help soften the blow. Once again, this is a very extreme cut, 30% in 1 year, when we're less than about 6 months out from the fair at this point. That's pretty drastic, so we're just trying to par that back a little bit and just like to once again ask the question what the methodology was for coming up with those cuts. And but also like to thank the Appropriations Committee for raising the limit on the amount of fees that the State Fair can spend, all those special funds. Because I really think that will help the State Fair become more entrepreneurial, let them react in the way in which the private sector usually can react. So I think that was a positive step in the right direction to kind of allow them the opportunity to truly make those decisions. So with that being said, I just like to soften this blow, like I said, make it a 20% cut instead of a 30% cut. Certainly look forward to any questions.
Senator Burns, or Senator Wasserberger, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. President. On and in favor of the amendment. I know that we're taking this from $750,000 from the Wyoming Business Council to fund the Wyoming State Fair, but to me, it's agricultural business, and the future of agricultural business are the young people who are at that fair and learning those types of things on feed for livestock and the showing of them and the keeping of records and ultimately even the sale of those livestock at a fat stock sale. So on and in favor of the amendment, I think we all know the issue. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I would ask for the favorable support.
Senator Burns.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I'd first of all like to take a quick privilege of the floor. I, too, served under you as Speaker and as President, and am proud to do so. I'd like to congratulate the prime sponsor of this amendment on his last amendment. I wish I could say the same thing about this amendment. We've already basically litigated this question already. We've asked the State Fair for years to change the way they do business. They have refused to do so. They have more than enough, far more than enough reserves to cover the cut as they have now. Plus, we've given them the authority to raise fees and use that money from their enterprise fund to continue their operations. They have dozens of events up there that they don't charge for, and we couldn't think of any other way to get it through to them. And the fact that we have a budget shortfall just happened to be a well-timed occasion in the case of this particular cut.
Senator Agar.
On and for the amendment, Mr. President. I think I probably have the great honor of being the only individual in this body that has judged the State Fair. And the programs that it offers to our young children are amazing. I voted against this amendment the other day because I had some heartburn about where the funds were coming from. But after my colleague behind me did some working on the amendment, I'm in support of it today. Thank you.
Further discussion before the sponsor of the amendment speaks for a second time. Senator Burns, for your second time.
Mr. President, I neglected to mention it, the idea of taking this from the Business Council. Again, we're carving them up like a Thanksgiving turkey. Everybody who seems to want to put something into their particular favorite program seems to want to go after the Business Ready community program for it. If you sit there and think to yourself, where is the state going to get more bang for its buck and more diversification of the economy? The Business Council versus the State Fair, I think it's no contest.
Senator Boner, for your second time.
Thank you, Mr. President. Certainly appreciate the discussion. And just once again to reiterate, that we understand that the State Fair will raise fees. I understand that they will burn through their enterprise fund. But just to actually look at the numbers, and I guess I'm not going to get an answer as to why we took a 30%, why the State Fair took a 30% cut. But just so you know, raising fees overall by 10% is going to increase the funds for State Fair by about $47,000. So you can do the math. as far as how extreme these fees are going to have to be raised. Like I said, that's, or we can look at it the other way, that's about 2 years' worth of enterprise funds. So I just ask you to consider, once again, the important role that this fair plays in developing our young people. This is an investment in the future for the entire state. It's not just happen to be good for one person's district or another. This has an effect throughout the entire state for all of our communities, everybody who participates in this fair. So just like to reinforce that once again. I understand that we're going to raise fees, but I just hope that we can maybe take a 20% cut instead of a 30% cut.
We're voting on third reading amendment number 3 to Senate File 1. Chief Clerk, call the roll.
Agar? Aye. Anderson?
No.
No. Anselmi Dalton? Aye. Baldwin?
No.
Barnard?
No.
No. Boner? Aye. Bouchard?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
No.
No. Case? Aye. Christensen?
No.
No. Coe?
No.
No. Dockstetter?
No.
No. Driscoll?
No.
No. Ellis?
No.
No. Emmerich?
No.
No. Hastert? No. Hicks?
No.
Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon?
No.
Meyer?
Aye.
Aye. Moniz?
Aye.
Aye. Nethercott?
No.
No. Pappas?
No.
No. Perkins?
No.
No. Peterson?
No.
No. Rothfuss?
No.
No. Scott?
Aye.
Aye. Von Fladern?
Aye.
Aye. Westerberger?
Aye.
President Bebout?
No.
No. Closing vote?
Hicks, no to aye.
Hicks, no to aye.
Kinski, aye to no.
Kinski, aye to no. Driscoll, no to aye. Nethercott, no to aye.
Ellis, no to aye.
Ellis, no to aye. Closing vote? Closing vote closed. 14 aye, 16 no.
By your vote, third reading amendment number 3 has failed. Members of the Senate, if I could have your attention, we have a special guest with us here today. And it's a gentleman that I've had the pleasure of meeting last fall at the Energy Council's annual meeting in Jackson. And he is a Canada's Consul General, Mr. Stéphane Lessard. And General Counsel Lessard has traveled here today to promote and strengthen the economic, cultural, and educational relations between Wyoming and Canada. And he's quite a guy. He lives in Denver, I believe. And so you've got to see the Senate in action. And I think you can appreciate the style and the way we do things in Wyoming. And member of the Senate, we're going to allow him to speak. He's got a message to say to us. So please, Consul General Lessard, the floor is yours right up here. And just before you do, Senator Westerberger, have you got, okay, please, the floor is yours. Let's welcome into the Senate. Just a second, let me turn your mic on. There you go.
Thank you so much, Mr. President, for your kind welcome. And collectively, thank you, Senators, for your very nice welcome this morning. I appreciate the opportunity as a native French speaker from Canada to Montreal, actually, to be here. I'm just tipping it off in case you didn't know that I had a different accent. But... no, seriously, it's a pleasure to be here, and indeed, our office, our consulate is in Denver. I'm here with Lauren, my colleague. Our office is in Denver, and I personally have been in my position for about 6 months, and it's our third visit here, my third visit to this great state. I enjoy it every time, and it's indeed an honor to address you this morning. And the timing really couldn't be better, because 2017 is a big year for Canada. It's the 150th anniversary of our Confederation. And
hey!
Thank you very much. And of course, this anniversary is a great opportunity for Canadians to celebrate the country that we have built, you know, alongside our great friends in the U.S. And we'll celebrate for sure this year our country. But this is also a great opportunity to witness and reaffirm the strong partnerships we've built with international partners. And let me assure you, there is no stronger relationship between any two countries in this world than between Canada and the U.S. We are very proud to count the United States as our number one friend, partner, and ally. And I can assure you, this has been the case for decades, if not more. It is the case today, and it will always be the case. And I'll tell you why. It's not just because it's strategic for our countries, and it is, and I'll talk about some aspects of that. It's also because it's personal. The relationships we've built over generations, crossing north, south, the border in so many places, the friendships that we've built, and the studying that we've done in each other's countries, the businesses we've built together, the communities that straddle the border in so many ways and so many shared interests are just outstanding. They're so deep and they're so personal. And it's as a true friend of your country and your great state that I appear with you today to talk about some of those shared interests. So let's talk about a little bit of that, and perhaps a topic that comes to mind is trade. It's in the news a lot these days, and it's really vitally important to both your great state, your great country, and to our country. Canada and the United States have for decades enjoyed the tremendous benefits of trade. Under NAFTA, our economies have grown significantly and in many ways have become integrated so that we've become, in a way, a common market. Not only do we sell more to each other under NAFTA, we've come to a place where we make things together increasingly so that our integrated supply chains are able to be the most competitive and to really outcompete the rest of the world, and we should celebrate that. So I want to be clear, trade between Canada and the United States is balanced and fair. The trade in 2017, to give you an order of magnitude, amounted to about $700 billion. I say it's balanced and fair. Why? It's balanced because we sell to each other. Between Canada and the U.S., we sell to each other about the same value in goods and services. So there's not a wide discrepancy between what you buy from us and what we buy from you in goods and services. And it's fair because it operates under the rules of NAFTA, which are pretty strict. And when issues come up, and they do, softwood lumber, other issues will come up. When they come up, we address them and we resolve them because that's what friends and partners do. Canada boasts a strong, unique relationship with each of the 50 states in the Union. And, of course, Wyoming is no exception. Canada is Wyoming's largest trading partner and second most important export market. In total two-way trade, our relationship was worth approximately $1 billion in 2017. With significant trade in some sectors like energy, mining, chemicals, and agriculture, and others. Canada is also a significant investor in Wyoming, with 38 great Canadian companies contributing to the economy of your great state. And Canadians, of course, love to visit Wyoming to experience the beauty that you find everywhere. In fact, in 2015, over 156,000 Canadians made the trip to Wyoming, spending, of course, many millions of dollars. So what does this all mean in practical terms for Wyoming? Well, firstly, it means jobs. It means that more than 13,000 jobs, year in, year out, in Wyoming depend directly on trade and investment with Canada. Our trade and investment also injects capital in infrastructure and in your industries, and it supports local economies across the state. So, ladies and gentlemen, senators, my office is always looking for a way to build on what we've already achieved and take it further, to work with legislators, senators, of course, yourselves, your associations, your business associations, your companies, and looking for a way to continue to build the most productive and efficient economic relationship that that we can between Canada and Wyoming. And this is why Canada strongly supports the continuation of our great trading relationship under NAFTA. Of course, with preserving the gains that we've achieved through NAFTA, but also looking to a way to modernize it. It's 20-plus year agreement. We know that the new administration in Washington is interested in re-examining NAFTA. So are we, in fact. We're open to that, and we have some ideas of our own. So it's okay. We can build on what we've already achieved, modernize it where appropriate, and just continue to build on that relationship. Canada is also opposed to protectionist measures, such as Buy America provisions and country of origin labeling, for example, that make it more difficult for our respective companies to do business with each other and make things together. These measures, while attractive on the surface, and we understand, have many unintended negative consequences, which usually include making American business and maybe Canadian business less competitive and successful. But don't take my word for it. Of course, you would expect that from a Canadian spokesperson. This is exactly the message that Mr. Thomas Donoghue, CEO, President and CEO of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, gave to our ministers earlier in Ottawa, earlier this week. The reality is that trade is good for our industries, and it's good for our populations. Trade-related jobs pay, on average, wages that are 50% higher than in sectors not relying on trade. So in conclusion, ladies and gentlemen, I look forward to working with you for our shared prosperity, with our incredible natural resources, with the ingenuity of our people, with the impressive talent and innovative spirit of our populations, and the leadership in this room. I know that the future is incredibly bright for our great relationship. Once again, thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Senators, for your kind welcome, and look forward to interacting with you if possible. Thank you.
Consul General Lessard, thank you so much for taking the time to come up and share that message with us. And the state of Wyoming is proud of the relationship that we have with Canada and in the past, and we certainly look forward to continuing that in future and in having the involvement of the Canadian provinces that are involved with the Energy Council continue to do that. So thank you very much. It's good to have you here. We do have a token for you to take back and remember us by, but more importantly, what I'd like to do is take the debate we have here in Wyoming, where we're citizens, a citizen legislature. We come from all walks of life, and you're seeing a great part of what we're doing here. So thanks for being here and participating. Well, having told him how well we do our work, we better get back to it. Third reading amendment number 27 to Senate File 1. Reading clerk, please read it in.
Senate File 1, third reading amendment number 27, Section 11, Department of Revenue, page 20, line 8.
Senator Landon.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move third reading amendment number 27 to Senate File 1. Fellow senators, this is really a technical correction under Section 11, the Department of Revenue. There's a footnote in the 2016 budget bill, fellow senators, and it relates to a repayment in the property division. Let me describe what we're doing here. During the calendar year 2016. This agency paid out approximately $390,000 of a $1 million appropriation for the period, leaving approximately $600,000 in the account. This remaining $600,000 that they had was substantially short of what it needed to fund the 2016 refund period. And so during the governor's reduction efforts, that $608,000 was reduced to nothing as part of the 8% required cuts. So the JAC approved that, the governor's recommendation, effectively removing that $1 million. And this footnote should have been removed at the same time, Mr. President. I hope that describes it well enough, but I encourage your support of this technical correction.
Further discussion? Question. We're voting on third reading amendment number 27 to Senate File 1. Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Agar?
Aye.
Aye. Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. And Sam McDowell?
Aye.
Baldwin?
Aye.
Barnard?
Aye.
Boner?
Aye.
Bouchard?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Aye. Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Dockstetter?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Ellis?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert?
Aye.
Aye. Hicks?
Aye.
Aye. Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon?
Aye.
Meyer?
No.
Moniz?
Aye.
Aye. Nethercott?
Aye.
Pappas?
Aye.
Aye. Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
Aye.
Aye. Von Platern?
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger?
Aye.
Aye. President Bebout?
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 29 aye, 1 no.
By your vote, you voted to adopt second reading amendment number 27 to Senate File, third reading amendment number 27 to Senate File 1. Third reading amendment number 22 to Senate File 1. The chief reading clerk will please read it in.
Senate File 1, third reading amendment number 22, section 19, Professional Teaching Standards Board, page 5, line 20.
Center office.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 1, ask the body for favorable consideration. Mr. President, we've been working with the Professional Teaching Standards Board for a while through the Education Committee, as well as Enterprise Technology Services, on some software that was developed for the PTSB. They need to make a transition to this software, and it's going to require some external expertise for a short period of time where they basically need to hire somebody to do some data entry for a few months. Mr. President, this does not increase their budget or decrease their budget, but provides some direction that they can use $20,000 of their funds that are currently already appropriated through their special revenue to direct towards that project. Mr. President, we worked with co-chairman from the two chambers of education and some of the other members of the body here on trying to get this problem solved that's been ongoing for a little while. Hopefully this will resolve the problem that we've been having with the Professional Teaching Standards Board and their online accreditation system. I'd urge the body to support the amendment.
Further discussion? There being none, we're voting on third reading amendment number 22 to Senate File 1.
Mr. President.
Oh, excuse me, Senator Pappas.
Thank you.
Got to stand up a little quicker.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just have one question. This says that it ensures that the PTSB shall ensure that the online credentialing service is operational. The issue for me is that they are not the ones who developed the system. ETS, through a contractor, developed the software. I'm not so sure that perhaps there should be some direction to ETS to make sure that this thing is operational. It's an issue. I think PTSB doesn't have any problems, training their personnel and learning the system, but somehow ETS has a big part in this, and I'm assuming they're going to be obviously agreeable to help PTSB get this system up and running, because they do want to shut down that old piece of software that's really has some security issues. But my concern is that since this is through a third-party contractor, ETS did not develop the software. It's through a third-party contractor. My question is, where is the skin in the game on the side of the software developer or ETS on behalf of the software developer. And not only is it PTSB, the portion of the software which is the credentialing service, but there's also the another piece of the software, which is the assignment validation piece, that is through the WDE, and that has not been addressed here at all. So, just some explanation, I suppose. Please,
Senator Coe.
Mr. President, we had quite a meeting the other day with the two agencies. We had ETSB and we had ETS, and I want to congratulate the good senator from Cheyenne for putting that together. But I think what this amendment is trying to do is just to stimulate a little bit cooperation from, you know, ETS, I thought, made a good presentation, you know, on the software they have in place. And honestly, PTSB has had some problems over the last couple of years implementing. And I think what this amendment intends to do is just to stimulate this coordination between these two agencies to really get them going, really get them talking, really get them on board, and to get something done. And in talking with the director of ETS this morning out in the hall, he assured me that was going to take place. This stimulates PTSB to do the same thing.
Senator Anderson.
Mr. President, question. This says it's on page 101 after line 4. Page 101 is after Environmental Quality Council. I'm wondering if that's... It is the correct place to put that.
Senator Coe, for your second time.
Mr. President, that just happens to be where 019 fits in on page 101.
Okay.
Further discussion before the sponsor speaks for his second time. Okay, we're voting on third reading amendment number 22 to Senate File 1. Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Agar?
Aye.
Aye. Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Anselmi Dalton?
Aye.
Aye. Baldwin?
Aye.
Aye. Barnard?
Aye.
Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Bouchard?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case? Aye. Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Aye. Dockstetter?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Ellis?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Aye. Hicks?
Aye.
Aye. Kinski?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer?
Aye.
Moniz?
Aye.
Aye. Nethercott? Aye. Pappas?
Aye.
Aye. Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
Aye.
Aye. Von Fladern?
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger?
Aye.
Aye. President Bebout?
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 30-aye.
By your vote, third reading amendment number 22 to Senate File 1 has been adopted. Third reading amendment number 4. The reading clerk, please read it in.
Senate File 1, third reading amendment number 4, section 20, Department of Environmental Quality, page 23, line 4.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move third reading amendment number 4 to Senate File 1, ask for the body's favorable consideration. Folks, I distributed this handout to you. I want to apologize. It's Mark 26. I think that was a proposed amendment number that I had there rather than the actual amendment number. But this goes into the Department of Environmental Quality, takes it back to the time period of the number of employees that we had prior in DEQ, prior to coal bed methane. And a little bit of the history of that particular development in our state. We wanted to make sure that we got all of our coal bed methane wells permitted and online as soon as possible. So we ramped up government, and we ramped up government significantly. As you can see, in 2002, there were 200 employees. In 2009, it bounced up to 271 employees, which essentially that's what it held to. Until just recently, there has been some reductions in DEQ. In the current budget, they're down to 261. What this amendment just simply says is that if two vacancies become due, then those positions are eliminated. That's all it does. It's just kind of a recognition that we need to do some reductions in different agencies that have grown substantially over the course of the last several years. And so, Mr. President, with that, I'd ask for the favorable consideration, call for the question if there are no questions.
Senator Ron Flainer.
Mr. President, this once again, it goes back to an earlier amendment where I asked if whether or not an administrator left or a federally funded position was vacated, would that would come with no money. That would be no savings to the state if it's federally funded. If it was an administrator, it would be a savings of whatever they make out there, and it would be more than the average receptionist or person that was working the front line. Then we asked DEQ to repurpose all their 100% generally funded positions to the AML program, or most of their, in the land quality division, to their 100% federally funded now. So that's a lot of people that could lose their position, or their position could disappear. We wouldn't make anything because they're being paid by the federal government. If that person or two people, I think this says two people, two authorized full-time positions were to disappear, it would slow down the point at which we would become capable of using those AML funds for capital projects, not just for reclamation. So that is also a detriment to our state. They've already lost eight full-time positions per this last governor's cut. Then you have Section 320 coming. Section 320 directs the governor, or asks, or says may, eliminate 75 other positions. So they could be as part of that chopping block as well. And if the new administration, federal administration, follows through on what they've said, they're going to allow the states to do more, give more authority to states, less to the federal government, allow us to do more of the work, which means we probably, or they will request, and maybe not, but they will probably need more more employees there. Whether they get them or not, I doubt it, but they'll be asked to do more work. And once again, it'll slow down. What we've been known for, and people argue this, is that we've been known for giving out permits and doing inspections quicker than our counterparts at the federal level. So by reducing their number of people working for them, whether we get the savings or not, and chances in DEQ you wouldn't get the savings because they're federally funded, but we also would slow down that permitting inspection. So with that in mind, I stand against this amendment.
Further discussion? Senator Office.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm against the amendment as well. I understand the desire to cut back, but DEQ positions facilitate oftentimes our mineral extractive industry permitting and getting things done. The more we end up delaying projects, the less revenue the state's able to bring in, the less productive our community is able to be, and we need to be a lot more careful about cutting back the DEQ than a third reading amendment on the budget, even if we do want to constrain the budget. Perhaps there are two positions available in DEQ. But that would have been something that I think the Appropriations Committee would have been brought us if, through their analysis, they had thought that we could scale the agency back further. As a member of the Minerals Committee for the over the years, I understand the importance of DEQ to just getting things done in Wyoming that are important to the state, and I'd urge the body to resist this amendment without a lot more detail and a lot more analysis that we're not going to have on third reading of the budget.
Further discussion? Senator Hicks.
All good discussion, but it's all resolved. It's all revolved around one division in DEQ. We're all talking about the minerals division. There's a lot more divisions in DEQ than just minerals. A lot. Land quality, water quality, a lot of that land quality is the people that go down and harass the crap out of your local landfills. Harassing is probably an understatement. Water quality division. Water quality division. We've had some instances where we've had some civil litigation in recent times with certain agency employees out riding around trespassing across private lands.
riding around with the EPA unannounced. So, you know, I understand why we don't want to go into the mineral section, but folks, it's a lot bigger agency than just minerals. This may be the first little cut, but I'll tell you, it's a big agency. It's got a lot of divisions. We probably don't want to go into the minerals. We just put another position back in, which was a good position. But across the board, not all divisions are equal. And I will tell you, there's probably some surplus employees out there working in some of these other divisions. On and for the amendment.
Further discussion before the sponsor speaks for a second time. Senator Meyer, you speak again.
President. Mr. President, good discussions, good points made. Certainly, I wouldn't want to inhibit the production of our minerals, and that's exactly why years ago we added 71 new positions. But folks, the boom is over, the bust is here, the rig count is down, the need for the positions that were put in place so many years ago for minerals no longer exists. And we all know it. That's why we're here, and that's why we have a budget deficit. So, Mr. President, there's also flexibility within the employment rules of the state. You can reclassify positions if you need to move positions around. So if there are extreme needs in different areas within DEQ, two positions out of the 61 remaining, you're down to 59 more positions than they had when they actually needed to be in place. So, Mr. President, if we can't make cuts into an area of state government that essentially rides on the coattails of our boom and bust economy and a bust cycle, then, Mr. President, we can't make enough cuts, and we're going to be making some tough decisions about taxes. Now, let me tell you a little story about taxes, Mr. President. Had the opportunity of one of the fellow senators here to go out to one of the local Italian restaurants, and there was a family of five sitting right next to us. And we got to talking about the tough choices we're going to have to make. Mr. President, when we start raising taxes, that family is going to start making tough choices. They're not going to be able to go to that Italian restaurant. And what we're doing is that we have to make some major cuts. Mr. President, this is a major cut. You're taking two out of the remaining 61 positions, and these positions were brought about during the bust cycle. I mean, during a boom cycle, and this is a bust cycle now. And you have to regulate the size of your government based on the needs that are in our economy in these service agencies. And truly, DEQ is a service agency. They service a lot of industries out there. But, Mr. President, I think it's a major cut. It's not even a cut. It is a nick. Mr. President, I hope that we vote this up. There's plenty of flexibility within the payroll system to ameliorate any unintended consequences.
We're voting on third reading amendment number 4 to Senate File 1. Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Agar?
Aye.
Anderson?
No.
No. Anselmi Dalton?
No.
No. Baldwin?
No.
No. Barnard?
No.
No. Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Richard?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
Aye.
Aye. Christensen?
Aye.
Aye. Coe?
No.
No. Dockstetter?
Aye.
Aye. Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye. Ellis?
No.
No. Emmerich?
No.
No. Hastert?
Aye.
Aye. Hicks?
Aye.
Aye. Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer?
Aye.
Aye. Moniz?
Aye.
Aye. Nethercott?
No.
No. Pappas?
No.
No. Perkins?
No.
No. Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
No.
No. Scott?
Aye.
Aye. Von Fladern?
No.
No. Wasserberger?
No.
No. President Bebout?
No.
No. Closing. Hastert, aye to no. Landon, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 14 aye, 16 no.
By your vote, third reading amendment number 4 to Senate File 1 has failed. Third reading amendment number 30. Reading clerk, please read in the amendment.
Senate File 1, third reading amendment number 30. Section 37, State Engineer. Section 85, Wyoming Business Council. Page 30, line 6.
Senator Hicks.
Mr. President, I would move third reading amendment number 30 to Senate File number 1. Members of the body, you've got a handout on your desk. If you look at this, it's got my name on it, Senate File number 1. So this is the omnibus water bill construction. This is the implications to what happened when we took the 6.2 out of water development account 1. And how this is going to affect the omnibus water bill that you'll be voting on in another week. So if you look at that list, it goes down. And it shows you what a 24% reduction, because in this omnibus water bill for the construction alone, or on all water bills, is $25.5 million. The important thing here, members, is this water bill is put together prior to the session starts. We have gone in with the JAC's recommendation now, after this bill was already put together, and said we're going to cut $6.2 million. That's 24%. So if you take a 24% reduction, This may be a budget balancer when we get to the water development account, which you're going to look. I'm not going to spend a lot of time. You can look through those, but they range anywhere from as small as $37,000 for projects all the way up to City of Laramie, $1.7 million if we put the budget balancer in this bill. Well, Mr. Chairman, what this amendment does is try to establish some parity. And so here, I'm going to walk you through what the amendment does, members of the body. What we're doing with this amendment is we're going to pull $400,000 out of the state engineer's office. Now, let me talk about where that comes from. $400,000 of that comes out of the Board of Control, which represents a 1.6% reduction in their budget. We're going to pull $200,000 out of the state engineer's office budget. That's a 1.5% reduction in that. The footnote on this allows the state engineer to be able to move those monies around within his agency to make sure he's got the flexibility to adjust to that 1.5% budget cut. The 1.6% budget cut for the Board of Control, what that does is it says the state engineer can't remove any positions from around the state of Wyoming. We have offices in Sheridan. We have an office in Riverton. We have an office in Cokeville and an office in Torrington. But he can't take those. If he decides within the Board of Control to pull that out of positions, he can't take that out of those offices that are scattered around the state. They also have additional satellite offices around the state that they have employees scattered around. Same discussion we had with the Department of Agriculture. The second part of the bill is we go down and we pull $2.7 million out of the Wyoming Business Ready Community. And let me talk why. All the water development account monies in Account 1 go straight to the municipalities, all 99 of them, plus the irrigation districts. The money in the Wyoming Business Ready Communities goes to those same 99 potential entities in those municipalities around the state of Wyoming. It's really a policy decision as to whether you want to put the money for the municipalities in the water account or you want to leave it in the business account. Well, let's talk about the implications of moving that. And I want to talk about that $6.2 million represented a 32% cut to the mineral severance taxes for account one. But when I look at that list of projects and talk about the potential impact of those, Cali, Wyoming can't afford a $3 million water tank. I worry about our little communities like Thane, Wyoming. Had a conversation with the director of the Board of Control here in our largest municipality. Largest growing area in the state of Wyoming is looking at about $128 million of water in their five-year plan, $128 million to bring on additional water. I look at the impact. We put over $200 million into the Gillette Madison. There's still 35 entities out there that can hook onto that pipeline. We're going to reduce the funding for those. So there's two things. We can either do a budget balancer in here. We can take 24% out of this water bill. We've had testimony from the water development that they can fund this with their reserves, but let's talk about what the reserves do. If we fund this bill and we go down this track, in 3 years they have zero reserves. Zero.
What that $3.1 million does is put them back on a six-year burn rate to go through their reserves and make sure that all of those other entities coming behind the individuals' entities in this bill get the same opportunity in the same program. Mr. President, the only thing I would tell you, if we burn that all those reserves in 3 years, there is no exigency funds available. We had a case, Sundance, Wyoming, three years ago, wet spring, and their whole water storage tank slid off the hill, $2 million.
Aye, Senator Hicks. Further discussion? Further discussion?
Chairman Mike. Further discussion? Senator Burns.
Mr. President, we've again, we've discussed this back on second reading. Your Appropriations Committee decided to put the water back to pay for itself with the mineral money that it gets. They can slow down these projects, and I don't know why they'd have to keep their emergency exhaust their emergency reserve. They should keep that. Again, you know, we've already kind of victimized the business council, and I don't know why. I don't see any reason to victimize them more. Water going back to paying for itself is the same as YDOT and the same as Game and Fish going back to pay for itself.
Further discussion, Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm against the amendment, and this is the reason. I think what's going on here, particularly with the when you raid the business, the business council, particularly the investment-ready communities, generally what that usually gets used for is providing an investment-ready in the investment-ready communities is provides infrastructure, including that is water. And so what we're doing here with at least, if I understand this, with approximately $2.7 million of that, is you're saying that we want, or the most important project for any economic development in a community is water, because you're going to take it out of the investment-ready communities, which is available to all those communities. If they want to come and do water, they can come and I believe that they can come and apply for water from that program. They can do exactly these projects also from the business-ready community, but it allows the communities to set that priority, determine whether they want to spend it on water lines, whether they want to spend it on streets and roads, whether they want to spend it on sewer or other issues. And what we're doing here with this amendment is we're saying the most you will or the most important projects are the water projects.
Further discussion? Senator Von Flader.
Thank you, Mr. President. If I remember this correctly, the way the budgeting process works, that we're setting this up for 1 year. So at the end of 1 year, if they truly feel that they are being that the projects are being slowed down, there's a lot of complaints from your constituents, we can bring this back, and they can be moved back into their own general fund funding for the engineer's office and taken out of this. But on and against the amendment, I believe this doesn't accomplish what our group wanted to get done.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, let's have a little bit of discussion about what the business council has morphed into. When it was first developed, it was developed primarily, Mr. President, to do the very things that the body has voted on, another $25 million worth of LSRA, and that's to diversify our economy. And now, Mr. President, the business council has morphed into the SLIB board and the Water Development Commission. So, Mr. President, I think it's time for a little bit of restraint. And the Water Development Commission, they have for decades been the premier agency organization in this state to develop water. And now we're saying, no, let's have the business council be the Water Development Commission. They can handle that too. And now we've got the business council basically providing SLIP grants. They've got $55 million, and the SLIP board's got $28 million. So, Mr. President, I think it's time that we take a look at what this organization has morphed into. It's very effective in a lot of ways, and there's some areas that they're branching out to as far as providing broadband opportunities that's not in the state. I think that's extremely important. But to say that they should take over the duties of the Water Development Commission, Mr. President, that's That's probably stepping over into areas where they just don't have the expertise of the Water Development Commission. The Water Development Commission has the expertise to develop water. The Business Council does not. And so there are areas where we're starting to have this particular organization lose sight of what its original intention was. And I think that's why a lot of the folks here in leadership brought forward basically a Business Council clone to get back on track in developing diversification. They've lost sight of that, Mr. President. And so now we're having to spend $25 million of LSRE over here to do what the Business Council is supposed to be doing. That was their original intent. And so to take the money away from the Business Council, this very small amount, and put it back into water development, and not to rely on the Business Council to actually be the Water Development Commission, I think makes a lot of sense. And it makes a lot of sense the way this sponsor has restricted the state engineer and the Board of Control from taking those positions out of the country where water is actually regulated. And if we have a situation where you're going to have some positions left, we just had an amendment here earlier on another division in the Board of Ag, where we made the decision that we're not going to let it grow inside of this town, and we're going to make sure where the rubber hits the road out in the country, it actually gets applied. And so for a lot of reasons, Mr. President, this is a good amendment. It's not going to materially affect what the Business Council is doing right now. It's a very small amount of money. It's not going to materially affect their outcome, but it will materially affect the ability to actually develop water and to keep that economic basic engine running in the state of Wyoming.
Further discussion? Senator Landon.
Mr. President, just real quickly on and against the amendment. Folks, keep your eye on the ball, and the ball is that this is a reduction in general fund spending. It asks the water development effort to help pay for itself a little bit. And quite frankly, we've faced this in other areas of our budget where we may have to shift from overdrive down into fourth gear, slow things down a little bit. I wish we didn't have to do that, Mr. President. But, you know, given the revenue outlook, I stand with my fellow members of the Appropriations Committee, and I think you should, too, on and against the amendment.
Further discussion before the sponsor speaks for a second time? Okay, we're voting on Senator Hicks.
Mr. President, just to answer some of the questions and some of the discussions that was out there, the same argument could be, say, if we do this and your constituents don't like it, we can come back here and fix it this year. Here's a fundamental difference between the Business Council and the Water Development Commission. The Business Council, with that business ready, is really constrained down to a very small number of cities and towns that it can access those monies. What the water development does is broaden that. I would almost guarantee you that if you look at Cali, Wyoming, you can't go in there and borrow $3 million from the Wyoming Business Council. But there's two fundamental differences, and this is what you need to understand. They're really not a blended program between the Business Council and water development. What water development does is provide those original source of supplies, those wells, those storage tanks, and all that raw water that it takes to get to your municipal infrastructure. That's where the Business Council comes in and does the subdivisions, the curbs, the lines for those potable sources of water. They're really two separate. You can't do the potable side through the Business Council until you have that raw water supply and that infrastructure and the storage tanks and the delivery system in place to get the water there to begin with. There's really a separation there as to what they're doing. Vote it up, vote it down. We'll be back if you vote it down and be doing a budget balancer on the omnibus water bill. Thank you, Mr. President.
We're voting on third reading amendment number 30 to Senate File 1. Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Agar?
Aye.
Aye. Anderson?
No.
No. Anselmi Dalton?
No.
No. Baldwin?
No.
No. Barnard?
No. Boner? No. Bouchard?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
No.
No. Case?
Aye.
Christensen? No. Coe?
No.
No. Dockstetter?
No.
No. Driscoll?
No.
No. Ellis?
No.
No. Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert?
No.
No. Hicks?
Aye.
Aye. Kinski?
No.
No. Landon?
No.
No. Meyer?
Aye.
Aye. Moniz?
No.
No. Nethercott? Aye. Pappas?
No.
No. Perkins?
No.
No. Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
No.
No. Scott?
No.
Aye. Von Platern?
No.
No. Wasserberger?
No.
No. President Bebout?
No.
No. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 9-aye, 21-no.
By your vote, third reading amendment number 30 to Senate File 1 has failed. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. We've done 10 amendments. I think we slowed down in our pace, so we're probably looking at between 7 and 7:30 at the current rate. But anyway, with that, I move that we stand in recess until 1:30 p.m.
Announcements. Senator Von Platern.
Thank you, Mr. President. Committee number 9, Minerals and Economic Development, will meet at about 12:20, room S18, to discuss House Bill 220, Ad Valorem Taxation Liens on Mineral Production, House Bill 254, Public Purpose Investments. And what time are we coming in?
1:30.
And if we come in at 1:30, we probably won't get the House Bill 253, Engrossed Economic Development Account Funding, but we will try.
Senator Emmerich.
Your committee number 6, Travel, will meet Tuesday, February 14th at 8 a.m. to consider House Bill 288, Engrossed Game and Fish Fees. House Bill 270, Engrossed Wolf Management, Trophy Game Animals. And if time permits, House Bill 173, Engrossed Paramutual Events, Distribution of Fees.
Senator Christensen.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Judiciary Committee number 1 will meet Monday, February 13th, 8 a.m., Jonah Room, L51, to consider the House Bills 197, Marijuana and THC Products Policy Reform Act, House Bill 87, Engrossed Return of Victims' Property Held as Evidence, and House Bill 153, Parental Rights.
Senator Burns.
Mr. President, your committee number 2, Appropriations, will meet Monday upon adjournment down at the JAC room. We will take up... Oh, I'm sorry. I'm looking at the wrong notice. Never mind.
Okay. Any other announcements? You heard the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The Senate will stand in recess until 1:30. 1:30. Yeah, we'll do.